that you are all here today. We've got a ton of big news dropping. And we're excited that you're joining us, of course. Happy Thursday, everyone. I know yesterday messed up the day, but today we've got a clear head on and we got it together. So thank you for being with us, of course. A lot happening right now. We're thankful that you're joining us. We're following a couple different things. Like the debt, the nation's debt just recently hit $38 trillion. That's a T, in case you're wondering at home. Yeah, it's not going down anytime soon. The government shut down. So one would think that's a little bit helpful, but it doesn't appear to be so. Of course, you know, it doesn't look like it's getting better anytime soon. We'll talk about that during the show, of course. We're also going to be keeping our eyes around the White House around 3 p.m. Eastern time today, because that's when President Donald Trump is expected to make an announcement. And we don't know what he's going to say. But I'm sure it's going to be great, and we'll keep our eyes on that. Plus, we're going to be making an announcement of our own here on the American Journal. It's a big announcement, so make sure you stay put. I'll also be joined by some incredible guests. Mike Benz is joining the show in studio. He was with us yesterday. I had the pleasure of sitting down with him and speaking with him, and we'll bring you that because we talked about John Brennan and so much more, even Brazil. And there's a lot going on there. We're excited to have Mike on, of course. We'll also be joined by Savannah Hernandez later in the show as well, because Savannah, you know, when she points, ice moves. And she did that apparently on Canal Street in New York City. And then a few hours later, ICE just ended up there and raided and wrapped up a couple of illegals and is ready to ship them off back to their main homeland. And it's because of Savannah, we can say with confidence. And so she'll be joining us in just a bit as well. Plus, Matt Hamilton is joining the program today. Matt is a cattle rancher. He also owns a butcher shop in Texas. And there's been a lot of talk about beef prices and President Trump also talking to cattle ranchers, asking them to lower their prices, and Argentinian beef being brought into the American market as well, which I know many people aren't very happy about. But we're going to ask him all of these questions about how he feels about this, because ultimately, folks, I mean, I would love cheaper beef prices, but I only want to buy American. I'm pretty sure that's how you feel at home as well. So he'll be joining us in a little bit to talk about that. But there's a lot also happening all around the world that we'll be diving into. Democrats, for example, are trying to track ICE agents. And well, because the DOJ got that app shut down on the App Store, which allowed individuals to track down ICE agents, they're creating a different service of their own. So they're literally putting targets on the backs of ICE agents now because it's convenient for them, of course, not when Barack Obama was apparently running the nation. But now that it's President Trump, well, they have to ramp up their efforts. I did reach out to the DOJ for comments on all of this. We'll talk about that later in the show. We're also going to be talking about President Trump versus the drug cartels. Now, that guy has no fear. I mean, he's taking on these drug cartels, even saying that he's going to hit them here if they try to bring their drugs onto the mainland. So, yeah. President Trump not backing down anytime soon, which we love to hear. Also, the D.C. pipe bomber. I can't say this with a straight face sometimes. The FBI needs your help in finding this individual. They've cleared up the footage. They're renewing their commitment to paying anyone who could lead to the arrest, with information lead to the arrest of the pipe bomber. You get about $500,000. Don't call the FBI, though, and tell them it's their guy. Okay. They don't want to hear that, apparently. But, folks, we'll be talking about that, too, today, and I'm excited about that. We'll also be talking about the government shutdowns. Shutdown, I should say. Because it doesn't look like we're going anywhere anytime soon. And we are officially in the second longest government shutdown in American history. Truthfully, I don't care, but I do care for our service members, and I do care about getting our ICE agents paid. Not so much TSA. We could abolish that, of course. So I'll be discussing all of that in just a few moments. So don't go anywhere. In the meantime, though, make sure. And this is big news, too. If you have an Android, now you could officially download the Alex Jones app. Head on over to the shop and download the AJN Live app right now. That just dropped last night. So if you have an Android, now you could join the rest of us, what we've been enjoying on the Apple Store for a very long time now. Join us. Download the app, AJN Live. We have plenty more to discuss on this beautiful Thursday morning, so don't go anywhere.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app. And tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Good morning. Happy Thursday, everyone. Welcome to the American Journal. We're excited that you're all jumping on board with us today. A lot going on in the world. A lot happening here over at InfoWars, and we're excited that you're joining us. I have a big announcement I'm going to be making during the show, so make sure you stay put, because this one is a big one. It's the future of media. And that's my big teaser on that front. We'll also be keeping our eyes on the White House, because later today, President Donald Trump at 3 p.m. Eastern time is expected to make a big announcement, hopefully a big announcement, that is on his agenda for today. So we've got our eyes on that. We've also got our eyes on the national debt. America's national debt just hit a whopping $38 trillion. Yeah, that's trillion with a T. So we'll be covering that as the government is still shut down. We're entering the second largest shutdown in American history, and it doesn't look like we're going anywhere anytime soon. So we'll bring you the latest on that front. And there was a big announcement as well in regards to those of you who may have an Android. You can now head on over to the store and the Android app store and download the AJN Live app. Now, that just dropped hours ago. So, you know, if you're an Android user, I don't know how you guys do it, but if you're an Android user, head on over right now and make sure you download the app, alexjonesapp.com as well. We'll bring you right to that. All right, folks, a lot happening over here. Like I said, we got a major announcement coming your way in just a few moments. I'm also going to be joined on today's show by Mike Benz. He joined me yesterday in the studio. We had quite the discussion from everything from John Brennan to Brazil to so much more. So we look forward to playing that in just a little bit, as well as Savannah Hernandez joining the show today. Savannah is a boss these days. I mean, she's crushing it right now in the independent journalism world. When Savannah points, ICE listens, and they did just that. She was blowing up these African illegals who were just taking over the streets of Canal Street. And hours later, guess what happened? ICE agents raided Canal Street. The mainstream media is going after Savannah because they're not happy that she outed these people, but they were nasty monsters. Okay, we got this one video, like Nick Shirley getting like yelled at by this one Afghan migrant who is apparently now arrested. So Savannah really doing her job there. We'll have her on the show later in the program as well. Plus, Matt Hamilton is joining the program too. He's a cattle rancher and a butcher. He owns a butcher shop over in Texas. And we're excited to have him on the show today because, well, President Trump is making it very clear. He actually put out two Truth Social posts about beef prices. And there's a lot of cattle ranchers in the country right now that are a little upset. If you're wondering why they're upset, well, they're upset because President Trump announced that he will be bringing Argentinian beef into the market. Now, we are very, we love our American farmers, and I don't think we really want that, but you know, let's ask an expert. If that's what we have him on the show today to discuss. I'm also going to ask him about mRNA vaccines. I know some of you are concerned about whether mRNA vaccines are injected into cattle. I know I talk about it in pork products all the time. I'm going to ask him, though, because he knows a thing or two about that. We're excited to have him on the show today. But first things first, let's talk about Democrats for a little bit, because Democrats decided to try to subvert the DOJ, who, you know, reached out, had these apps pulled off the app stores that were tracking down ICE agents. Now, ultimately, obviously, that is a big issue because these left-wing terrorists are utilizing these apps to go after and try to shoot and kill ICE agents. I mean, it's not like this fear-mongering campaign. We have the evidence. It's going on right now in our country. And so the DOJ doing what they should be doing. I mean, nobody wants to see an app get pulled down, but when it's being used to target and potentially kill people, you got to get taken down. And so Democrats are now just looking to go around all of that, apparently. They announced they're launching a Master ICE tracker on the Oversight Committee's website in the coming weeks. The site will attempt to verify and display public reports of ICE activities in sanctuary cities like Los Angeles. Now, obviously, Republicans are pushing back. And like we told you yesterday, you know, my researcher for this show, he uncovered that hundreds, over 1,000 ICE, DHS, DOJ, FBI employees, agents were all doxxed. When I reached out for comment, DOJ didn't know about it. Looks like we put it on their radar. DHS didn't know about it either. Looks like we put it on their radar. This is a real threat. They are actively trying to go after these people. So we're going to play clip one for you, because in clip one, it has Democrats outlining what this ICE tracker really means. Take a listen.
I shared this with the mayor. Over the course of the next couple of weeks, the Oversight Committee will be launching on their website a master ICE tracker, where we're going to be essentially tracking every single instance that we can verify that the community will be able to send us information on.
Yeah, so that's happening right now. But I want to direct your attention to what Chrissy Noem said in response to all of that. Chrissy Noem saying that in the wake of violent domestic terrorist attacks, bounties, and more, 1,000% increase in assaults against our ICE agents, radical sanctuary politicians are now building a master ICE tracker. She goes on to say that I'm working with AG Pam Bondi to ensure that any individual who doxes, threatens, and assaults our law enforcement agents, officers, will be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. Now, I also did reach out prior to this statement being put out by Chrissy Noem. I did reach out directly to Pam Bondi's office for comment. They did direct me to a statement that was made on her X account, in what she pretty much says the DOJ has zero tolerance for violence against law enforcement. We will prosecute any person who physically assaults our agents. So while Democrats are out there trying to get ICE agents killed, it's very active, very obvious that that's what they're doing here. I mean, they are going above and beyond to make sure that happens. By the way, don't tell them that Barack Obama was the one who was actually leading the way when it came to deportations. They don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that. You know, they had no problem going out there and utilizing these ICE agents when they thought it was convenient for them. But now, since they can make a political theatrical moment out of all of this, they're going to sit there and target these agents. It is infuriating this is going on right now. They have no regard for these people's lives. But what they're probably trying to do is defer people from applying to become ICE agents. You see, there was the announcement that over 100,000 applications came in for those looking to become ICE agents. And you know that had to have triggered those on the left. So what are they doing? Well, number one, they have a government shutdown, so these ICE agents aren't being paid currently. Obviously, they'll get back pay when the government comes back and it resumes. But for now, they're not getting funding. Then on top of it, they are actively putting their information online because they want to make sure that average Americans who are looking to come out there, become ICE agents, get into the fight to defend our nation, don't do just that. That's what's going on here. Start arresting Democrats. How many more times do we have to say this? These people are criminals. They're criminals. They're actively trying to get ICE agents murdered, and they don't give a damn about anything else. So how much longer are we going to allow this to continue on for? You know, DNI, Tulsi Gabbard was on Fox yesterday, and she spoke out about this tracker, obviously, as someone who has been targeted by the government previously. She understands what it's like to feel like you're being targeted and as to why she specifically left the Democratic Party. Take a listen to clip two.
Jesse, reminds me of the reason why I and so many others have left the Democrat Party. When you look at this party that is more interested in protecting criminals, cartel members, gangs, those who are causing incredible harm, ravaging our communities across the country, than they are actually standing up for the victims. You see a party that in many cases celebrated the assassination of Charlie Kirk. You see a party now that is essentially putting the lives of our law enforcement and their families at great risk. This is not the values of our country. This is not the values of the First Amendment and peaceful protest. This is a party that's undermining the very foundation of our country and putting the American people at risk, which is why President Trump, throughout his entire campaign, he promised the American people, I will make America safe again. I will secure our borders, and I will go after these cartels and gangs who are terrorizing the American people, raping young girls, causing incredible harm. And that's exactly what he's doing. I think the thing that's interesting to point out here, Jesse, is as you look at these law enforcement officers who are working for ICE, ICE's recruitment numbers have skyrocketed since President Trump took office, even in the face of these kinds of threats coming from some very powerful Democrat politicians across the country. Why is that? Because they are signing up to serve and protect the American people.
And that's why they're trying their very best to deflect and make sure that they cannot serve. This government shutdown is still ongoing, of course, and they're trying to intimidate people who want to come forward and work for the government now. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? It's all about the strategy here, folks. Democrats are very, very well thought out when it comes to those things. They just happen to have a couple of talking heads that are low IQ'd, but they're spewing the right talking points. They'll say anything with the operatives who are working behind them that they want them to say, pretty much. And so what we have going on right now in this country is they are actively looking to kill ICE agents. That's why they keep poking them. That's why they keep calling them Nazis. That's why they keep calling them different terms to infuriate those that are mentally ill within their own voter base. They know they have a lot of them, considering the fact they're all perked up on hormones that don't belong in their bodies in the first place. So that's what's going on right now in this country. Democrats aren't being secretive about it. They're saying it to your face. It wasn't enough that one sick individual tried his very best to open fire and murder ICE agents in Dallas, Texas. Obviously, being a member of the low IQ community, he ended up killing three migrants. But again, folks, this is what's happening. The left is breeding terrorists, and they're utilizing those terrorists to put them out there and to do crazy things. That's why they're giving them all the materials they need to justify, to validate in their sick little heads, taking extreme actions like going out there and trying to kill ICE agents. Time and time again, we hear about how these protesters are ramming their vehicles into federal agents' cars to try to stop them from doing their job. They're using their cars to block their driveways. And there's no care in the world, because what happens? They get arrested. They get some type of bail bond that's paid off by a left-wing activist group. And then they're back on the streets. These are people who are never going to have actual jobs and give to the community and contribute anything of value. Instead, they've decided that their lives are meaningless and they're just going to be activists. Activists. The rest of us know them as terrorists, though. So you have to get serious. You have to ramp it up. You got to start arresting Democrats and putting their mugshots out there for the American people to see. You want to be accessory to murder? Here you go. You want to give terrorists the materials they could utilize to carry out terrorist attacks? We're going to lock you up. It needs to be a clear message. It needs to be set with examples. That little press conference you saw there, that was your example. Start locking them up. Start throwing them in prison. Start putting out mugshots and embarrassing these people. Only one side has the fire in their belly to do that. Unfortunately, it's not those on the right. It's all those on the left, because they are fueled by hatred. And they are motivated by their communist backing. And so at some point, you got to sit back and say, what the heck are we doing here? But there's one man who doesn't have empty threats. President Donald Trump, when he tells you he's going to go after these drug cartels, these vicious, vicious, barbaric drug cartels, he means it. He means it. He is not just telling you that because he wants to make some cute little soundbite. He's up to what? Eight? He's like shot at like eight different boats, submarines as well, who are allegedly bringing drugs into our country. Well, he's not backing down anytime soon. In clip three, President Trump announces that he's fully prepared to carry out military strikes against the cartels, even if they try to come up on land. Take a listen.
This is a national security problem. They killed 300,000 people last year, drugs. These drugs coming in, They killed 300,000 Americans last year, and that gives you legal authority. We have a national security I will say this. When you look at the people we're dealing with, and we know them, we know the people coming in, we know the boats, we know everything else, we're allowed to do it. It's in international waters. If we don't do it, we're going to lose hundreds of thousands of people. Now, they'll be coming in by land a little bit more because they're not coming in by boat anymore. There are no boats in the water. There are no more boats. We know the boat almost immediately. You know, it's pretty unusual when you see somebody with a fishing rod and five engines on the back of the boat. You know, you don't need that to go fishing. Wait. And we will hit them very hard when they come in by land. And they haven't experienced that yet, but now we're totally prepared to do that.
This isn't a war that President Trump picked with the drug cartels. This is one he is ending. You see, the cartels have killed thousands and thousands of Americans, those who are addicted to drugs, and those who sadly maybe just come in contact with things like fentanyl. So the reality of it is this. When President Trump tells you that he is going back and he's fighting against these drug cartels, he means it. He means that he's not letting up any time soon. Now, again, I understand there's a lot of fear in regards to how do we 100% know that these submarines, that these boats are actually carrying fentanyl. But so far, it sounds like the president is batting 1,000 at this point. There's been no proof submitted forward that shows that he is inaccurate when he comes to taking out these druggies. Now, again, remember, these aren't the high-level officials working for the cartels. These are probably those on the very, very bottom of the cartels tree, I guess you could say. Workforce. However you want to phrase it. So it's sad because the cartel obviously just views them as disposable. That's why they have no problem putting them out there. But the message is clear. You're not coming to this country with your drugs. You're not coming here with fentanyl. You know, we spoke with an independent journalist who's on the ground in Portland. And he said the prices of drugs have skyrocketed because there's a limited supply. So we know what President Trump is doing is working. And he has the full backing of the American people because, folks, he didn't start this war. He's just looking to end it. I want to shift gears a little bit to John Brennan as well because John Brennan is very upset. The ex-CIA director, he's not happy. He's unhappy that Chairman Jim Jordan just made a criminal referral for him lying to Congress. No, he's not happy at all. He's actually really, really upset about it. And it's really getting under his skin. In clip four, you're going to hear just that. Take a listen.
When these things happen, I certainly get mad. I get angry. I also get sad that this is the state of our country and the state of our politics these days. The fact that, you know, individuals like a Jim Jordan are going to go after somebody. I served nearly 3.5 decades in public service. A lot involved in counterterrorism in the aftermath of 9/11. They don't care about doing things like this to destroy individuals, to go after me, to hurt me and my family and others. And so, you know, I'm saddened by what has happened. Sometimes I'm dispirited and disheartened. At the same time, I feel motivated to be able to stand up. And I'm glad that other people are standing up as well. And I see that more and more people are starting to realize what Donald Trump is all about. And so I'm hoping that the Republicans in Congress, I know it's a, you know, it's a wish that I've had for quite a while, they're really going to draw the line. And when they look at what's happened against the White House, it's so, such a vivid depiction and symbolic of what's going on to this country. But the abuse of power, the desecration of the rule of law, the fact that Donald Trump continues to do these things, why they continue to allow it, I think it's going to hurt the Republicans over in the long term. And just doing this right now to be able to satisfy the whims of Donald Trump, I never thought we would face a situation like this throughout the course of my career.
He never thought he's going to be held accountable because he is a career bureaucrat. That's what I heard there. I didn't hear anything else. I think John Brennan's in for a rude awakening. And we're going to talk about this with Mike Benz later on in the show, because the reality of it is these are the lightest charges John Brennan could be slammed with. The reality of it is he has, in my opinion, committed far worse crimes. And I'm going to ask Mike to map out what those crimes specifically are, because Mike's been following John Brennan for quite some time now, following the corruption within the CIA. Obviously, if you follow his work, you know that he knows that very, very well. And so the reality of it is John Brennan is just upset because the accountability tour is coming his way now. You see, you can only do so much criminal and treasonous activity before it ends up catching up with you. And he thought he was protected because he was working for the deep state. He was one of their operatives. Well, folks, he's about to learn a very crucial, crucial lesson here. John Brennan is an evil man, and he tried his very best to destroy this country like so many others. And so, yeah, lying to Congress, that's like a slap on the wrist for what that man has done. That's the bare minimum. Welcome to the accountability tour, John Brennan. Your first one up. All right, let's also turn over to this. I want to talk about the D.C. pipe bomber, because the FBI needs your help. They just recently cleared up the surveillance footage, and they're looking to see if you recognize this person. Take a look at this. This is their new clear footage that they released yesterday. Now, folks, in case you didn't know, the FBI is offering, still offering, $500,000 for any information that leads to helping assist in the arrest of the person who placed these pipe bombs outside of the DNC and the RNC. On January 5th, 2021. So if you know anything, reach out to the FBI. But don't call them and tell them that I think that's your guy. You know, we had Steve Baker on the show, and Steve Baker actually doesn't even think it's an FBI employee or an informant. He's got hopefully a report coming up soon. But yeah, call the FBI if you know who that is. $500,000, why not? And I would like a referral fee as well, please. Let's turn to something else, folks, because we've got a big announcement coming your way right now. Take a look at this tweet that came out from Sean Parnell. Sean Parnell is a senior advisor for Pete Hegseth, who is the Department of War secretary. Well, yesterday, Sean Parnell made a very big announcement, and I like to piggyback off of his announcement. Parnell is saying that there's a new media in town. The Department of War is announcing the next generation of Pentagon Preps Corps. Ultimately, what's happening here? Well, folks, they have 60 new journalists who are going to be shuffling in since the mainstream media decided that they were going to bow out over an agreement that was literally the most overblown, overdrawn thing I've ever seen in my life. I read through the agreement. There's nothing there. So in case you're wondering what the big announcement is, well, here it is. I will be full-time covering the Pentagon as one of those members in the Pentagon's new press pool. And I look forward to doing just that. Now, as many of you guys know, I saw the comments from the left, of course. They're infuriated that Sean Parnell and the rest of the comms team over at the Pentagon have selected journalists who have done more to hold the federal government accountable over the last 5 years than they have. And so here come the hit pieces. But folks, we're not backing down anytime soon. It is an honor to replace those former colleagues of mine over at Fox and other outlets, of course, who decided that they were not going to make their way into the press pool and sign that agreement. Now, again, I read it. There's nothing in there that's major. It's not a big deal. They just don't like the fact that they could no longer roam around the Pentagon anymore. So, folks, I look forward to covering the Pentagon for you. I won't be moving to D.C., though, of course, thank God. But I will be covering it for you, and I will have all of the information here on this show as well. So that's the big news, and we look forward to going to the Pentagon for the very first press briefing. All right, folks, there's more underway on the American Journal. Don't go anywhere. In the meantime, though, head on over to the alexjonesstore.com right now. Colostrum is still one of our top sellers, of course, but it's back in stock. And when you buy one, you get 50% off another supplement. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now.
I have said thousands of times, and I have said this hundreds of times to Trump personally, sometimes 5-6 times when I'm talking to him. Please stop saying it's on accident. Please stop saying they're incompetent. We can send you all the documents. It's on purpose. Here's who runs it. Here's who does it. Now, that was 8-9 years ago, and off and on throughout that. Now he's got all his advisors, or most of them, and all the evidence, and you hear him more and more saying, the Democrats are kamikazes. It's all on purpose. They hate America. They're Satanists. They want to bring us down. It's all premeditated. Yes, 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 because it's the truth. And when you tell the public, oh, they're idiots. Oh, they don't know what they're doing. Oh, they're so incompetent. Yeah, their constituents are, but not the people running it. It's the exact same leftist New World Order, BlackRock, UNWEF program all over the frickin' world. It is a premeditated evil attack in their own damn words. They are villains. It's not like, oh, they're just misguided fools. No, this is on purpose, people. That's what the Great Reset is. They're doing it on purpose. It's on purpose. On purpose. On purpose. On purpose. On purpose. So, this is what they do. They're scum. The opposite of competence. The opposite of trying to deliver success and excellence. Because they want to demoralize you and break your will. Remember how Gavin Newsom went, yeah, we can clean up San Francisco and L.A. anytime we want, but we only did it for Xi Jinping. He just went, ha, 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 and as soon as he's gone, we're going to have everybody crap everywhere and murder and kill and zombie and needles everywhere. You remember? You want to see the clip?
I know folks say, oh, they're just cleaning up this place because all those fancy leaders are coming into town. That's true, because it's true.
Because they love rubbing it in. Well, of course now San Francisco's had crime growing out 98% in the last month, and it's totally clean. Yeah, we could have done it all along. But we ain't doing it for you, you dumb sacks of garbage. If the globalists are successful and we're in a giant collapse depression and you leftists are starving to death later, just remember you and your bosses did this. We're going back to feudalism, which is the most common political system in history, where the elites all over the world, whether it was in Africa or Asia or Europe or Mesoamerica, they kept people starving and under control and super poor so that they could never move out of that lower slave class. And America has been about getting rid of that. Doesn't mean we've been perfect, but damn it, we've done the best job. And they want to flush that down the toilet. Ooh, ah! And they're close to crashing the whole thing. And it's going to crash the whole world economy with 9 billion people, and all the actuaries are clear. War, carnage. I mean, it's just going to be hell, whole world. And the globalists said they're engineering it. They believe they'll bring in their world government through that. But a lot of experts went, no, actually, you're all going to get destroyed, too. That's why a lot of elites said, pull back, it's too crazy, don't do it. Exactly. Even if you're evil and agree with the plan, it won't work. It's over. Disengage it now. It may already be too late. Trump's trying to save us, but you won't get out of the way.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're all excited that you're joining us today. President Trump has been sounding off a lot about cattle ranchers. And he's asking American cattle ranchers to be kind and to lower their prices. But is it really just about cattle ranchers not wanting to lower their prices? Well, I know a lot of you at home seem to disagree. They've been sounding off about this, especially because the president announced that we're going to start bringing Argentinian beef into our market. So for American farmers, it's not what you want to hear from our MAGA president. President Trump saying that Argentina really needs the business, and that's the reason why he's doing just that. But so do cattle ranchers in this country. And so while President Trump yesterday, who was taking the Truth Social and posted multiple tweets up, regarding just that, a lot of people are still sounding off on the issue. So I'm no cattle rancher myself, but I do love a great steak. So let's bring in an expert. Please welcome to the show Matt Hamilton. He's a cattle rancher and a butcher. He owns a shop in Texas, and it is great to have him on the program today because he makes great content on Instagram, and I do learn so much from it. So, Matt, it's a pleasure to have you on the program today. Thank you for being here. I wanted to get your take on...
Thank you, Brianna.
Thank you, Matt. I wanted to get your take on President Trump because President Trump is saying that cattle ranchers, he's asking you guys to lower your prices, but is it really that simple?
You know, I feel like I'm getting a little bit of inside baseball here of how it's probably like for my wife to live with me. And, you know, sometimes I just say silly, stupid things uninformed. And so I'm probably just seeing how my wife relates. But, you know, I just think the president understands how it works. So first off, I just can't lower my prices. Unfortunately, ranchers in America have almost no control over what price they get. So imagine going to work this week, putting in a full work week, and then on Friday just can't wait to see what you're going to get paid. You don't know. You're just going to you did the work, and you hope you get paid. That's kind of ranching in America. So the average producer, they produce a weaned calf that goes into a livestock market that then eventually goes off to one of ends at its life at one of these four mega processors. You know, the four companies in the United States control about 90% of the beef, and so we've been at the whim of what those guys will pay us for our cattle since basically about 1980. So I would say this: the American consumer that really all that you're seeing with these high prices today, you're basically seeing adjusted cost of inflation of beef being caught up. We've really not had a pay raise since 1980. And, there's a lot of things that happened with the beef industry where the packers took over starting in 1980 that has led to that. But, I would tell the American consumer this: in 1980, the average American consumer, take the bottom and top 5% off, the average American consumer had to work for 12 minutes to buy a pound of ground beef. And in August of this year, the average American consumer had to work for 12 minutes to buy a pound of ground beef. So beef prices are just catching up where they need to be for people to actually be able to ranch and make a profit. So it's not unreasonable beef pricing. It's just that you've had cheap beef for the last 40 years. And that's, I know it hurts as inflation in other areas has caught up with our lives, that it hurts to have this inflation catch up in the grocery store. That's just really where it's at. Now, unfortunately, in 1980, at those beef prices, 68 cents out of your beef dollar went to the steer. And as high as beef prices are today, only 40 cents of your beef dollar goes to the steer. So I would ask, who's making too much money? Maybe the people who are making all the money after the steer leaves the ranch. So that's who I would like for President Trump to focus in on. And they've done that a little bit. So for the first time in my life, the Brazilians are being called to task on one, they're actually just monitoring their beef imports, their tariffs on their beef imports, but there's restrictions on the amount of beef that Brazil can bring in. And they, once they started, this administration started looking, they found out Brazil exceeded their annual beef imports in 17 days. So a big shout out to Secretary Rollins. I think she is doing a great job. She does have American farmers and ranchers first. The president kind of got over his skis here with some of these comments he made last Thursday. And, you know, we hear a lot about that. The market crashed. The market crashed on Friday and Monday on the futures. Really, but it did soften, but, really only got back to where we were at about 3 weeks ago in the market. So the market didn't really fall apart. We've had a very aggressive, very bullish market. I'd also like to point out that the futures market is 97 to 98% traded by people who are not in the cattle business. They don't own cattle, they don't raise cattle, and they're not even in the beef business. So that market is influenced and pushed in different directions by speculators. It's 90, if you're not a basis buyer, you don't have cattle or you're not in the beef business, you're a speculator. 97 to 98% of futures traded are speculators. So in the real world, in the cash market, we really didn't see the softening this week that the futures market has seen. So the real world knows that they're the lowest cattle numbers we've had in America in modern history since the 50s. And the American consumer wants to buy American beef. Demand for beef is strong. And the American consumer is still paying for it. So we appreciate that. Appreciate the American consumer still wanting to buy our beef. We wish the president would focus in on country of origin labeling that has been absent since 2016 when it was taken off the table on a budget bill. So that is a talking point that has been pushed by this administration. We wish they would focus on that. Argentinian beef we've historically imported Argentinian beef pretty small amounts. You know, when you consider the amount of meat that's consumed in the United States, it's a pretty small amount, insignificant compared to the amount that comes in from Brazil. So whether that's $80 million to $200 million a year of Argentinian beef historically coming in, that's kind of insignificant. When we hear a number like $50 billion thrown out, that gets us a little upset about that much possible Argentinian beef coming in. But really, at a time where the average American rancher is in his 70s and young people have barriers to entry to get in to produce food for America, we'd really like to hear that term thrown around, $50 billion of improvements in our infrastructure, financing for young farmers and ranchers to get into the business. That's really what we would like to hear this administration talk about. So, yeah, you know, it's the world has not ended since last Thursday for American farmers and ranchers, still out here raising beef, doing what we do. Prices are historically high, but I want to remind the consumer they're just getting caught up with adjusted cost of inflation from 1980. And the biggest thing I'd say to the American consumers, please just demand country of origin labeling. Demand American beef. Put it on a label. If the American consumer wants to buy Brazilian beef, if the American consumer wants to buy Argentinian beef, that's their choice. I think the consumer should have the choice. But when we put the label on the beef and tell them where it's from, the American consumer wants to buy American beef. And that's why the big beef packers did away with country of origin labeling in 2016, as they knew they couldn't put it in the package and get the American consumer to buy it if it was on the label.
Yeah, well, actually, I have a question for you, Matt. So I've always had a big issue with this, not knowing where exactly our beef products are coming from. It's really difficult to understand that. I know, like, I go to places, we have them all in Florida, Wild Fork, and they actually do put when it's coming from Brazil on the front of it, but very few shops do that. I want to understand a little bit of how American consumers could try to track where their sources are if they're going to the supermarket and they don't have a local farmer nearby. Are there any type of indicators that they could track? And then I also want you to kind of tell us a little bit about what the standards are for foreign beef products, because, you know, I know obviously our agencies here are very, you know, strict and very tight when it comes to regulations. Are they trying to push those same regulations on foreign products as well?
Well, no, it's so, you know, they, you know, it's not. It's so that they have to go through some inspection process once they come into the United States, but we really don't know how that animal was harvested, how it was raised. There's minimal testing on drug residuals. So we're at the behest of whatever the rules are in that country. As, you know, and then the South American countries do not have the same production standards or the requirements for withdrawals on drugs or restricted drug use. I'm glad you brought up Wild Fork. Oh man, love Wild Fork. Not. So that is the direct consumer arm of JBS, the largest beef company in the world, the largest beef processor in the United States. And I would love to get those Brazilian brothers that own that to come to the United States. I'd love to talk to them. Of course, they can't come to the United States because they'll be put in chains the moment they step off an airplane because they're wanted for SEC violations for the way they brought that money to the United States to buy up 28% of the beef processing, 32% of poultry, 35% of pork. The reason they are not good guys over there putting country of origin labeling on anything at Wild Fork, they're doing that because that product was completely packaged in Brazil and they had to. So what they do is they can bring that meat in the United States and package it here, and they don't have to put a country of origin labeling on it because it was packaged in the United States. So I would advise everyone to stay as far away from Wild Fork as you can if you want to buy American products.
Okay, Matt, so now I've got to call Wild Fork and ask for comment on this because I did not know this, and now I'm quite curious because here I am, ignorant. Obviously, I'm carnivore. Everyone who watches the audience, they all know what I do. I'm all carnivore, and I post pictures and stuff, and I had no idea that that was the case. So you just taught me something, and I'm going to have to reach out for them to comment because I don't understand how they've been playing me all these years, and now I've got questions for them.
Get those Batista brothers to come over here and talk to you. That'd be great if you could get them to come visit you in Florida. God says federal government would like to talk to them.
Yeah, I've got some questions for them. This is all good to hear. I want to talk about your Instagram page.
I've got a lot of questions.
Yeah, I bet you do. Well, we'll team up, I guess. But I want to talk about your Instagram page because you do a great job. And you've garnished like millions and millions of views on your posts. I've got a lot of people that ask me questions because they know I'm hardcore carnivore these days. But you've got the answers in regards to, let's just talk about how on your Instagram page, which is local, yokel, farm to market. I will put that up on our screen so our audience can take a look as well. But you do a great job at specifically going out there and debunking a lot of these myths that we've all had. Like, number one, everyone asks me, why or are we using mRNA vaccines on cattle? And I know that's something that you've debunked personally. So help us break that down for our audience. I know we're using it on pork products. I've spoken to farmers who confirmed that to me. What about cattle, though?
I can't speak to pork. I can tell you that beef, and due to my just personal relationships with guys that are in very large ag. I'm gonna have to research that. I can't speak to the pork. I can tell you that specifically on beef, they have tried to develop four different mRNA vaccines for cattle, a respiratory vaccine, and then for hoof and mouth disease. And all of those vaccines have failed. They failed in testing because they didn't work. They weren't effective, and they had unacceptable side effects, aka death loss. So the vaccine, the mRNA vaccines have, there are no mRNA vaccines currently approved for beef because they just have never been brought to market because they didn't work. They weren't successful, and then or they just had unacceptable side effects, aka death loss. So there are no mRNA vaccines for cattle currently. The last one that's still even being pursued is in Australia for hoof and mouth disease. And that's directly from the head of North America, or actually all of America, North and South America, veterinary medicine, that I was on a call with about 9 months ago, that basically saying there aren't any mRNA vaccines for cattle because they've not been developed. I am not aware of that pork mRNA vaccine, and so I want to run that one to ground because my understanding is they don't work. So.
Yeah, there was a cattle rancher that I booked, not a cattle rancher. There was an individual, a farmer, who came on a show that I was working for, and she admitted that, yes, there are mRNA vaccines being utilized on pork products. And so, obviously, that's deeply concerning. But we can keep digging into that one, because I haven't had bacon since, and I would like to go and indulge a little bit in bacon if there are any bacon products out there that aren't using the jabs. So that would be something I would look for. I also wanted to ask you, too, Matt, while we still have you, of course, break down the grass-fed kind of thing that goes on right now, because everyone's, like, loving grass-fed products, and that's the one that everyone tells you on social media you need to buy. But then there's grass-fed, grass-finished, grain-finished, and it's all just very confusing, let's just be honest. So help us understand a little bit about that.
It's so hard to be a consumer. It is so hard to be a consumer because as soon as producers with good intention, meat processors with good intention, and consumers with good intentions establish a product demand, the big guys instantly pervert that. So they did that with All Natural. All Natural was steroid-free, hormone-free, antibiotic-free, no dyes, colors, fillers, chemical tenderizers, shelf-life extenders in the meat. Then the industry came out with natural beef. Not All Natural, just natural. So they changed it just a little bit there. And so they've done the same thing now with grass-fed, grass-finished beef. So USDA does not recognize corn as corn until you run it through a combine and separate the grain from the plant. So if I go and harvest the entire plant and turn it into silage, which is a very common practice in cattle feeding, they are feeding the corn silage to the cattle and calling it grass-fed, grass-finished. So JBS specifically has a product that they call Grass Run Farms out of Iowa, where they feed the cattle corn silage but call it grass-fed, grass-finished. So they kind of trick the consumer just a little bit into buying what they want. A lot of your grass-fed, grass-finished beef comes in from Uruguay and Paraguay, which is right next door to Venezuela, where we are having these screwworm issues that are all tracking back directly to Venezuela and South America. So that's a problem within of itself. But it's really hard as a consumer. Unless you have a relationship, and that's one we really have jumped, trying to make a huge social media presence. I would love to tell you that you can go trust a place like Wild Fork, but you can't. That's just the largest beef producer in the United States trying to get in your pocket with deception. So if you go to Wild Fork and buy grass-fed, grass-finished beef, it is going to be, Grass Run Farms out of Nebraska. It is corn-fed, corn-finished beef. So absolutely not the product that you want to buy. So the problem is you're constantly getting deceived. You're constantly getting just a little bit of a trick of what's going on, what's actually in the package versus what you want to be in the package.
Matt, this is so interesting to me because, again, this is stuff that I'm learning now that we're speaking, of course, and I've got like 1,000 more questions for you. My producer just flagged for me, too, since, you know, all JBS stuff, they were just recently added to the New York Stock Exchange, it looks like. What does that mean for farmers? Because that might actually be damaging for you guys out there because it could contribute to cheaper beef prices. It might affect you. Does it affect you?
It's not good news. So what that has done, that's just given them a bigger bucket of funds to dip into. And so now you've got, you know, everyone from, you know, BlackRock, all the big hedge funds are going to can dump money into them. And that's just going to bolster them, to give them more money to take over more of the American, protein market. And I'd say protein markets are not just in beef. They are the largest beef processor, but they're also one of the largest chicken and pork processors. And those are completely vertically integrated markets where they control them the entire way through. At least on beef production, they control it at the end, not the entire way through. This is not good news for the Americans, because JBS's long-term game is not to harvest American cattle. They want to bring in Brazilian beef because it's cheaper to produce. And, you think they have some influence here in the United States with their political lobbying. Well, in Brazil, they just do it the good old fashioned way and they just pay everybody off direct. Now they did get in a little bit of trouble for bribing 180 government officials and they did get sentenced to 20 years in prison, but they only had to serve 12 months at home. So they had to stay in their villas for an entire year, bless their hearts. So, as bad as it is today, if they continue their influence, they continue their growth. And I've been very vocal. JBS contributed to Donald Trump's campaign. A fraction of what they contributed to the Biden campaign, but they are very involved in politics. And of course, anybody who's the largest of anything is going to be very involved in politics, much less the largest in the protein business. Opening this funding mechanism, opening them up to be on the New York Stock Exchange, puts the other companies at a disadvantage of being able to compete against them as far as how they're funded and how they can raise capital. Not good news for American farmer and rancher. I wish the average American actually knew where their 401k was parked at and they could go in and say, no, I don't want to invest in JBS. The average American knows about as much where their investment money is going as they do where their groceries are coming from. So they're not dialing in and saying, no, I don't want to invest in these companies. They're just turning it over to these large hedge fund groups that are putting the money, wherever they want to put it at. And Wall Street is backing these guys. They see it as a growth opportunity to be in the protein market. So, not excited about JBS being on the New York Stock Exchange at all.
Yeah, well, I've got a bit of a follow-up question because you mentioned that they had contributed to President Trump's campaign. Obviously, the president pushing for tariffs. We've got about 2 minutes, but how is tariffs affecting foreign beef products that are being brought into the country, specifically their products?
So we have increased tariffs to Brazil, first time ever. The biggest thing is they're exceeding their import limits. So doesn't matter what the tariff is. But then also because of NAFTA, they can skirt that by bringing that product into Mexico and rebox it in Mexico. And they can skirt that tariff under NAFTA, which has been renamed into, a North America trade agreement. But it is a great tool. I'm glad the president finally put some tariffs on Brazilian beef. I'm glad they're finally actually looking into the amount of Brazilian beef that's coming in. But the American consumer needs to understand that due to this bad NAFTA deal that we got handed during the Clinton administration, there's ways around that. The back door to America is definitely open, and it's called Mexico.
Ah, I just learned so much from you today, Matt. So thank you for joining the show. I want to appreciate everything that you just taught us. Again, folks, if you're at home right now, follow him on Instagram because you will learn so much as well. I thought I knew everything. Apparently, I know nothing about this. And I'm actually going to be reaching out right now to JBS. Invite them on this show so that they can answer some questions. I've got a lot of questions for them, too. And I'll let you know, Matt, if they say yes.
They have a lot of questions to answer, so I'll be watching. I'll be watching. I don't think you're going to get very far at JBS, but I'll be watching.
We'll try our very best. I'm very persistent. I am known for being a pain and reaching out time and time again, so I look forward to having them on the show to hear their rebuttal to all of this. So thank you so much, Matt, for joining us. We appreciate your time. We appreciate all of our cattle ranchers all across the country. Of course, you guys are doing us a great service, so we're appreciative of that. All right, so we've got a lot underway, folks, happening this show. Like I told you, Savannah Hernandez as well as Mike Benz are joining us later on in the program. We made that big announcement, though, just moments ago. If you just jumped in, let me tell you, I am now going to be heading over to the Pentagon to cover it full time. I'm going to be a member of the press corps. Folks, it's not that I'm moving to D.C. I would never move to D.C., but I will be there when they begin and resume their press conferences, of course, and we look forward to that because it's good. I'm replacing my former employers because they didn't want to sign a contract, which was a fair contract that they were just asking you to agree to. So, again, that's the big news that we had for you today. Also, more big news. The official Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now available for Android users. If you're the one who's messing up the group chat because you don't have an iPhone, well, now you could join us over at AJN Live. Head on over to the alexjonesapp.com right now. That is where you could go straight there to download the app. And if you haven't done so already and you have an iPhone, I don't know what the heck you're waiting on. Head on over to alexjonesapp.com right now and jump in. It's how you stay in touch with us, of course. If anything does happen, and anyone who downloads the app can immediately get 20% off their next order over at thealexjonesstore.com as well. That is an exclusive promo code you're only going to get when you head on over right now to the Alex Jones app and download that app. So do that right now. Also, while you're at it and while you're going to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right after you download the app, you're going to want to indulge because colostrum is back in stock. If you're someone looking to repair your gut health, immune power, muscle recovery, stress support, toxin shield, and maybe absorb your nutrients a little bit better, you got to head on over right now and grab some of this. We are back in stock. And when you buy one, you get 50% off another supplement. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. All right, folks, when we come back for the second hour, we're going to be talking a lot about the government shutdown. I'll bring you the very latest because Democrats are saying the quiet part out loud. You won't believe it.
A back problem that I've had since Alex was born is almost completely gone after 50, however many years. And my hair is much thicker than it has been. And I have good hair anyway, but it's much thicker. And this is brand new.
Turn darker.
And darker.
Now, I was out at dinner a few weeks ago after my dad had heart surgery, and my mom and my dad were ranting and raving about how great the bovine colostrum was they got. Last run sold out, but it's now back in stock for only a few days. If you buy it, already discounted, any other supplement, ultramethylene blue, the Shilajit, Ultimate Life Force, they're all 50% off any other supplement when you get the bovine colostrum. It's so incredible. It's back in stock. Here's my parents at dinner.
You've been on colostrum now 2 months. And we have the very best at thealexjonesstore.com, and I'm serious. So, Mom, you got to listen. The products are amazing.
Well, this one, like I said, I don't do testimonials. There's a lot of good products, but this is the first one that I can go, whoa, it really.
Can you put that on?
Tell us what happened.
I have been on the colostrum for about 2 or 3 months, and a back problem that I've had since Alex was born is almost completely gone after 50, however many years. And my hair is much thicker than it has been. And I have good hair anyway, but it's much thicker. And this is brand new.
Turn darker.
Yes, ChatGPT, what it's known to do. Upper respiratory tract infections and symptoms reduction. Attenuation of exercise-induced immune suppression. Antiviral and antibacterial effects. Stopping leaky gut. Support for gastrointestinal disorders, which is the whole body. Enhanced recovery and reduced inflammation. Metabolic health, wound healing, and tissue repair. Get your bovine colostrum back in stock at thealexandthestore.com. And it funds the Second American Revolution worldwide.
Journal. We're excited that you are all here with us today on this glorious Thursday morning. A lot going on in the world today. We're following everything, of course. As many of you know, if you're watching early in the show, I made it a big announcement. I'll be joining the press pool over at the Pentagon, which is going to be a very, very big deal for us. Finally, they are respecting, I mean, just the administration is respecting independent journalists. They have allowed me access that the Biden regime would have never given me access to. They even refused to respond to my emails. And so this is going to be quite fascinating, of course. So I will be covering the Pentagon when they have their first press conference. I will be in Washington, D.C. covering it. And then in the meantime, I'll be remote because I cannot stand Washington, D.C. So I'll breeze on into the swamp and head on out. But, folks, this is great news, of course, because they are allowing us in. Now, many of you probably are aware the media, the mainstream media, they were pushing back on the Pentagon, who was just simply asking them to sign an agreement. Now, as someone who formerly worked for the mainstream media, left my job because I refused to comply with an illegal vaccine mandate. I have no problem sticking up for the truth and sticking up for our morals, my morals, and so much more. So in regards to all of this, I have to say, if anything happens, I saw a lot of people saying, oh, they're controlled. They're going to only push out right-wing talking points. No, that's not the case. I have been very critical of the Secretary of War himself, Mr. Pete Hegseth, Department of War Secretary, I should say, in regards to Qatar and other things, and I've been respectful about it. And I have a lot of friends over there at the Department of War, and they know that I have been covering them fairly. I don't run hit pieces through anonymous sources. I do my research, and I do it thoroughly. And so this is going to be exciting for not only me, but for the rest of us. We will finally have access into the Pentagon, so I look forward to bringing you the coverage. Of course, that will be exciting. And, I mean, it just makes sense, right? The mainstream media walked out because they were upset, because they were asking for things like proof that you're a member of the press. I work for Major League Baseball, and I could never walk around the fields or the clubhouse or just the stadium itself without my credentials hanging from my neck. And so the fact that they were asking you to display it tells me, and the other things that were in the list, right, there was also unauthorized. You can't be fishing for unauthorized information. Aggressively going out there and pursuing. It's one thing if it comes to you, but they don't want you trying to trap their employees. That's fair. That's fair. So again, I look forward to covering the Pentagon and bringing you access. Of course, we're excited that that's going to be happening here. Pissing off the mainstream media, though. I think they all walked out together that the Pentagon would have to bend the knee. But instead, they're being replaced. And it's exciting for me, of course, because several of my former employers walked out that day. And it's good to be replacing them. It's good to be replacing them. We are in different times, folks. The independent journalism universe is going to be eclipsing the mainstream media. That's because no one trusts the mainstream media anyway. And how could you? How could you? So I'm excited about that. It'll be quite the interesting coverage you'll be receiving, of course. And it'll be fair and balanced, but very direct. Very direct. If you haven't done so already, guys, the big announcement, too, coming from InfoWars right now, is that the official Alex Jones app has just been released for those of you using Android phones. So head on over right now to alexjonesapp.com and download the AJN Live app. That's the big announcement. We got a lot coming your way, though. Mike Benz joining the show. He was here in studio yesterday. I sat down with my friend. We did a very lengthy discussion about John Brennan, Brazil, and so much more. Look forward to showing you that in just a few moments as well. And Savannah Hernandez. She's calling the shots these days. She's pointing, and ICE is watching what direction she's pointing in. She pointed over at Canal Street, and, well, just a couple of hours later, it was raided. It was raided. Now, obviously, those Afghan illegal aliens aren't very happy about that. African, I should say. So again, they're not thrilled about this. They were very angry, even going after one independent journalist when he was doing his reporting on the streets. And so now New York City will look a little less like a third world country without these people bothering you as you walk down the street. This is good. This is good news. So we're excited about that. All right, there's more coming your way, of course, on The American Journal. I'm going to give you the details regarding the government shutdown as well as the national debt, which is hitting massive record-breaking numbers, which nobody wants to actually deal with. And plus, the White House is getting a makeover. President Trump doing massive reservations. You won't believe the first look we have of those images. Don't go anywhere. More to discuss in just a few moments.
I also noticed your cup is stained blue on the inside.
I mean, I've been caught.
You got a little, did you get, find some methylene blue floating around here?
I did, man. I commandeered some from Harrison's office.
Yeah, it's JonesStore.com. Check out the supplements we have, 25% off apparel. Methylene blue, you can get for 50% off if you get a subscription and you never run out. So,
amen.
I know Stuart's going to be looking for a bottle. I'm going to go try to track one down for him while,
if you don't mind, I have a bottle that fills. Too.
You like both. What do you like better?
You know what? I like them both.
Okay.
When I'm traveling, the pills definitely.
Yeah.
It's easier.
Yeah, it's not gonna, you're not worried about it breaking open or.
No, on the way over here, I took a couple.
Yeah.
You know, while I'm driving.
Yeah. So with driving, did you feel more alert while you were driving or?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I took a couple shots while I'm in here. In lieu of coffee. You guys ran out of coffee, so I went and got some methylene blue.
That's all he needs is a little methylene blue.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. I'm excited that you're all joining me today. If you missed that interview that we just did with Matt Hamilton, you got to take a listen to that later on. You got to, you know, rewind back because I learned so much. As somebody who is strictly carnivore these days, he just taught me so much that I didn't know in regards to the beef market. Here I am enjoying a good steak from Wild Fork, and I had no idea that they could possibly be lying to me. It actually be from Brazil. I'm reaching out for a comment on that too, by the way, because here I was thinking I was beating beef prices. And little did I know, it's not American. Not American. So I'm reaching out for comment from them. We're going to let them respond to those allegations. That's going on here. We're also waiting at 3 p.m. Eastern time because over at the White House, there's expected to be an announcement made by President Trump. And so we'll bring that to you, of course. So we've got our eyes glued there. But we've also got our eyes glued to the government shutdown. Right now, the government is entering, I don't know, it's like north of 20 days of it being shut down. You probably didn't notice unless you are a government employee. That is the only individuals it seems to be affecting. And so we're just sitting by and watching as it continues on. Democrats not really come to the table to negotiate anything. In fact, I don't think they want the government to reopen. We'll map that out for you, though. But it looks like also Speaker Mike Johnson is calling out in clip 5 Chuck Schumer because he says Chuck Schumer is looking to make backroom deals to end this shutdown. And Johnson says he wants no part in that. Take a listen.
So Republicans cannot and will not solve it in a backroom deal. Chuck Schumer has been suggesting that four leaders should go into a smoke-filled back room like they used to do in the old days and create this solution. It's not a possible thing to do. It was never appropriate. It's not possible to put on a continuing resolution because it's such a complex issue. Issues of this magnitude deserve deep thought and deliberation. That's how this system works here. And as soon as Chuck Schumer reopens the government, all of our members will have an opportunity to engage and the very important discussion of how to make Obamacare affordable. But we won't engage in Democrats' hostage-taking, nor will we pay a ransom.
That's the best way to describe it. They are doing their very best to hold the American people hostage. And, well, if you don't give their illegal aliens funding for health care, they are not going to let us all live our lives. They're not going to reopen the government. That is what's going on right now. That is what's going on here. But it's not surprising. Again, we talk about it all the time. Democrats have a new voter base in their eyesight right now, and that's what their focus is right now. So, of course, they're geared up and ready for just that. Now, when it comes to those who are receiving SNAP benefits, food stamps, things aren't looking good for them right now. SNAP and EBT benefits are coming with a catch. And if you haven't been anywhere on social media in the last 24 hours, you probably haven't encountered these videos that are flooding the internet. In clip six, you'll see what Americans are saying in regards to the government shutdown and food stamps. Take a listen.
Okay, y'all. Y'all gonna wanna hear this, because this is coming November 1st. If you are receiving SNAP EBT, by November 1st, you're gonna have to start working 80 hours a month just for you to collect your food stamps.
They saying I gotta work 20 hours a week. I'm not working for nobody. Get the fuck out of here. This is what Americans, taxpayer, work for us. They work for me. They gotta help me feed my fucking kids. Get the fuck out of here. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't be quitters now. Y'all been helping us all this time. Now y'all wanna tap out. Get the fuck out of here. I want my EBT, yo.
Bitch, we're gonna eat, and we're gonna eat good on your dime, ho. Yeah, on the big corporation's dime, cause what? Food stamps ain't stopping no motherfucking show. You wait and see how hungry people get and see what the fuck happened. Bitch, let me tell you something. Them junkies that be on Baltimore, North Avenue is gonna have a field motherfucking day. They gonna make their money on. Okay? You ain't stopping okay? Cause as long as I got a purse, a car, bitch, some car keys, my baby's just gonna eat if I have to. I'm gonna do what I gotta do.
Oh, you heard that? She'll do anything to eat except work. They don't want to work. How dare you demand that they work and contribute to this country? They just want you to help them feed their kids. Feed their kids. That's society's trash, folks. Their refusal to work tells you everything you need to know about it. They're not happy that you're forcing them to work. Wait until you force them to take drug tests. They won't be happy about that, of course. See, those people that you just saw from, I think it's very disgraceful that they're sounding off. Sounding off. They're angry that the government is now going to make them work for their food. How dare you demand that? Well, folks, when it comes to who do you blame for all of this, obviously it's those on the left, but reality is when it comes to food stamps, first of all, let me just be very clear. I actually do have empathy for those single mothers who were left behind and are now forced to raise their kids on the system. But the reality of it is so many others are just abusing it like you just saw. Can you imagine being a man and not having a single desire in your body to be a provider for your family? No, I couldn't imagine it. But when it comes to who do we blame here and who should we be upset about? Well, Democrats are pretending like it's not them. And in clip seven, in fact, one Democrat is saying the quiet part out loud. Take a listen.
I mean, shutdowns are terrible. And of course, there will be, you know, families that are going to suffer. We take that responsibility very seriously. But it is one of the few leverage times we have.
It's the few leverage times to hold this country hostage until your illegal aliens get funding for health care. So you're going to starve, but no one else's fault, but Democrats, of course. Yeah, I would say that's probably not okay to say the quiet part out loud, and I'm probably going to say she probably got pulled into a room and spoken to about that one. But when it comes to like what Democrats are really looking to fund, it's not just health care, it's just a lot of craziness. And in clip eight, it kind of outlines all the crazy things Democrats want you, American taxpayers, to fund. Take a listen.
They're sacrificing Head Start right down your street to produce Iraq Sesame Street. So they'd rather spend money on Iraqi Sesame Street than fund your Head Start programs. But President Trump is, you know, the bad guy for putting America first. Scratch your head on that one. They're risking the safety of American skies for LGBTQI programs in the Balkans, right? Putting the Balkans over the safety of our skies. They're jeopardizing millions of paychecks to Americans to support woke programs in Honduras, Zimbabwe, Mexico, Venezuela, and Lebanon. Okay. I don't know about you, but I think that is absolutely shameful. Let me be clear. A shutdown should never be used as leverage for more wasteful spending.
Yeah, It shouldn't be, but that's the reality we're in right now. Democrats want you to pay for Iraqi Sesame Street, but something tells me they're not going to get the LGBT propaganda shoved down their throats with their version of Sesame Street. I don't think that's going to be the case. I think that if they tried pushing the rainbow flag Sesame Street propaganda in Iraq, well, the poor bird's going to get tossed off the top of a roof. You see, they don't tolerate that type of propaganda, but they will try their very best to weave it in, and that's probably why Democrats are funding it. And I don't think even the funding that they're trying to allocate for gay Sesame Street is being used entirely for that. Why do they need millions of dollars for this? Sesame Street itself is actually a very profitable characters, and they should be able to profit off of it without the government taxpayers getting involved in that. So, again, folks, more obscene things that are being funded by the government, and no surprise here that they are looking to drag that on. But the interesting part in all of this, right, they're holding Americans hostage while the national debt just keeps creeping up on us. And yesterday, it shattered glass ceilings, not the kind that the left likes to shatter. We just hit $38 trillion. Watchdogs are now warning there's no way for a great nation like America to run its finances like this, obviously. So we just keep ramping up and spending. Even with the government shutdown, obviously, the debt is still building up because of other funds that have been allocated, of course. But the federal debt has risen within the last month or two, it looks like, up to $1 trillion. I mean, again, folks, the debt is out of control. And I know for most of you at home, when you sit back and you watch this, you're like, oh, Brianna, we just stopped counting after a couple of zeros at this point. It's absolutely disgraceful that we allow these politicians to continue to misuse our funding. And so it looks like Republicans are holding the line, finally, for once, on this issue. Because enough is enough. We're done funding all of this nonsense. The ballooning federal debt is creating upward pressure on both inflation and interest rates, potentially constraining growth and lifting borrowers' costs for households and businesses alike. And again, it doesn't help if the Fed is failing to reduce the rates either. That's also contributing to this as well. So a lot is going into this. A lot. And it's worth your attention. It's worth your focus. You know, when I used to work over at Fox, I actually worked on Lou Dobbs' show when I first started. I was his teleprompter operator. And Lou, every night, would be, have that debt clock ready to go. And the debt clock was always on the screen. And so that was his big push, to show Americans about how bad our debt is. And now we're well north of $38 trillion. And it just keeps going up and going up and going up. And sadly, not much is being done to stop it. Now, thankfully, we have the Doge clock, but that just drops in the bucket at this point, with no real plan to pay it off. I know President Trump is pushing for tariffs to be utilized for that. But again, how much are tariffs really going to bring in? That's a significant amount of money. Spending needs to be drastically cut. All right, let's shift gears and bring it back to the White House. Because, well, the White House is getting a new look, and it has the mainstream media very, very upset. We just recently received this image of the construction that has just been completed over at the White House. And I'm sure you won't believe it. I didn't either. But this is going to really trigger those on the left. The new White House that we have this image of. Oh, what's that at the top? Oh, Trump Tower. The Trump Tower wing. Now, no word if that's AI or a live shot of the White House, but that the left is very unhinged. Now, of course, President Trump doing actual construction on the White House, reconstructing or trying to build a beautiful ballroom. And he's not charging American taxpayers. The cost is going to cost north of $200 million. He's committed to paying for it himself, plus gathering donors. That's why he's suing all these mainstream media outlets. In fact, every time they come to the ballroom now or pass it, they're going to realize that their employer was the one who had to pay for it. ABC News, others, you know, coughing up the cash, and it's going straight to that. Even the DOJ, the president's suing now. Obviously, that's American taxpayer money that would be given. According to reports, though, he's looking for $230 million. That's likely going to go to his new ballroom. Wouldn't it be beautiful if we put a Trump Tower up right next to the White House? That's how we ensure that Democrat never gets back into the White House, I'll tell you that. But, you know, the mainstream media is really doing its best to push their lies. And in clip nine, President Trump absolutely shredded a reporter who was pushing fake news. Take a listen.
And so I thought I'd bring this out because this is going to be probably the finest ballroom ever built. And we're doing it. No cost to the country. It's being put, the money's being put in by me and donors, very great patriots, actually. And the spirit on the building of it is amazing. We are using little sections of footings and various other things, but that's sort of irrelevant. In order to do it properly, we had to take down the existing structure. The way it was shown, it looked like we were touching the White House. We don't touch the White House. That's a bridge, a glass bridge going from the White House to the ballroom. Then you get into the lobby of the ballroom, and then you go into the magnificent, the main room. And it's something that has gotten incredible reviews.
And your just want a quick follow-up on that question. Your response to people who say that you haven't been transparent enough about this?
I haven't been transparent?
That's some of your
really? I've shown this to everybody that would listen. Third-rate reporters didn't see it because they didn't look. You're a third-rate reporter. Always have been. So third-rate reporters didn't look. But anybody that asked, these pictures have been in newspapers. They've been all over the place. And, you know, we're very proud of it. It's gotten great reviews. It's gotten really great reviews. So I think we've been more transparent than anybody's ever been.
You know, if Barack Obama was a nicer person, he probably could have asked President Trump for a favor and help design his library. But instead, he used a bunch of butch lesbian DEI hires to build the building. And it's one of the ugliest buildings we've seen thus far. Then that comes second, of course. Well, I'd say his comes first. And then that Nancy Pelosi building in San Francisco is probably second. These structures that the left continue to build are so ugly. And President Trump is bringing elegance back to the White House, of course. Scott Adams with his epic tweet. I love it so, so much. You can't tell the difference between the Obama library and a North Korean guard tower, but that's probably intentional, of course. Now, speaking of butch lesbians, those on The View in clip 10 are doing their very best to push more disinformation. We're talking about Whoopi Goldberg. Apparently, she's out here spewing more lies because she's either too dumb to be able to read or she's just the propagandist for the deep state machine. Take a listen.
So this will also be decided. This is the part that really tickles me. It's going to be decided by some of the same Justice Department lawyers who worked with him on these past cases. So Americans, the question is, are you on board with all of this? This is like a cash grab.
Yeah.
And your taxes are probably going to be paying for that.
That tacky ballroom.
I mean, it's kind of kooky.
All right. So Whoopi, in the soundbite that we pulled from originally, or we're supposed to pull from, is saying to her audience, she's lying to her audience, saying that American taxpayers are going to be the one to cough up the expense for that White House ballroom. But again, President Trump committing that he is not turning to American taxpayers. He, in fact, will fund it himself through donations and his personal, lawsuits and whatever else he has to cough up. He'll pay the cash. So again, Whoopi Goldberg, another liar, but it's not surprising. This is the lies they have to keep pushing. Of course, where the heck is he going to get $200 million from American taxpayers that was not previously allocated? Of course, it's not a thing. It's not a thing at all. Let's talk President Trump again and keep it in the wheelhouse where we call out, President Trump, who's calling out, I should say, Barack Hussein Obama. This is a good one, folks. Take a look at this Truth Social post that he posted. He is daring Barack Hussein Obama to ask himself a tough question, whether he believes that in 2020, Joe Biden got 15 million more votes than he did back in 2012. Again, Obama winning by, allegedly, I should say, 65.9 million versus Joe Biden's 81 million. Now, let's think about this. Joe Biden, the man who could barely string together a couple of sentences, but somehow, some way, one of the most supported presidents. Come on, guys. He literally campaigned from his basement. The rest of you know he didn't win that election. They used mail-in ballots and other ways to steal. And that's why the cover-up was so heavily punished by those who are behind all of this. If you dare to question the narrative, you were sued for billions of dollars. You were referred to as a conspiracy theorist. They did their very best to slander your name. But none of it sticks. None of it sticks. So President Trump doing his very best. And I wonder if he's alluding to anything. I wonder if he knows something. Because, you know, the president's always out there telling you little bits, pieces here and there. But he's got a much bigger message to share with the American people, of course. So maybe he knows something. Maybe he's going to be a document dump soon. We'll have to wait back and see. All right, a lot happened, too, in New York. We will dive into that in a little bit. So stay put there. But I will talk about Zohran Mamdani in a bit. I wanted to bring you this news that has now been confirmed in regards to that poor young woman who was stabbed to death on that train in North Carolina. DeCarlos Brown Jr., he's the suspect who has been arrested for that. Now he's facing federal charges. Now, folks, apparently he is facing the death penalty on these charges, so he's eligible for the death penalty. Now, here's my thing behind all of this, right? He obviously fatally stabbed to death that beautiful Ukrainian refugee on that train. She was minding her own business, and he stabbed her. We've seen the footage. We've heard the audio recordings coming from him to his, I believe it was his sister he was calling, and he did a phone interview with her, just a phone discussion, and those recordings were released. He admitted that, yeah, I don't know how that even happened, but he's someone who struggles with schizophrenia. So I would love to believe that we are going to put a man like that who committed a heinous crime like that, unprovoked heinous crime, that will put him to death for his behavior, his actions. But folks, even if you could land a conviction, I don't see the death penalty being implemented here only because of the fact that he does have a history of schizophrenia. Of course, doctors will weigh in on that, and I do hope that they don't try to give him a get-out-of-free jail pass on the charges given his mental health issues, but the reality of it is it's not looking good for us. Again, that crime was absolutely repulsive to sit back and watch, and it should have created, if those on the left saw it, if the roles were reversed, it would have caused cities to burn, but no city burned. No city burned, but the American people are looking for justice. So we do hope that comes. Obviously, the federal government stepping in now and looking to bring us that justice, so we will sit back and hopefully see something come of that. In case you didn't see earlier this week, too, I wanted to bring this up as well. In the state of Florida, there is a new proposal for something called the Shane Jones Act. Interesting enough, folks, it's going to be something in regards to holding those accountable illegal aliens who kill American citizens while they are legally living here in the United States. Let me zoom in on this story. So right now it's HB 229, and it was just recently put up on Monday in the Florida state legislature. Ultimately, it would impose $10,000 in fines for any law enforcement agency that violates state immigration assistance requirements. It also creates a victims compensation program through the Florida Department of Law Enforcement to provide financial relief to Florida residents harmed by crimes committed by illegal aliens. It allows wrongful death lawsuits against the local governments that have sanctuary policies or fail to comply with immigration laws. Again, that's a big one because for a very long time now, these agencies have actually had immunity. So this is a little bit deeper than what I actually thought. This is good, though, because these law enforcement agencies have been able to operate by supporting illegal aliens and not enforcing the law equally because they have this immunity. So this would take out their immunity in the state of Florida. I would say it's a heck of a start. It's a great start. And one we could all support. So that's good news, at least. So that bill was just recently introduced in the Florida legislature, and we'll continue to follow it as it gets pushed through. That's something that should hopefully be a top priority. All right, folks, we got more underway in just a few moments. Do not go anywhere. In the meantime, though, if you haven't done so already, the big announcement is that the AJN Live app is available for Android users. So head on over to the alexjonesapp.com right now. Download the app if you haven't done so already, because that's what you're going to use to stay in touch with us, of course. Also, when you do head on over there and download the app, you will get a 20% off exclusive promo code for downloading the app. You can use that for the alexjonesstore.com, which now has colostrum back in stock. When you head on over there, of course, and download the app, you get 20% off to use at the shop. But most importantly, you could indulge and grab yourself some colostrum if you're someone looking to repair your gut health, immune power, muscular recovery, and so much more. This has sold out in the past. We now have it back in stock, so head on over to the alexjonesstore.com right now. More on the way.
told for years to get bovine colostrum. It's the milk that a mammal produces as a cow in the first 2 weeks. It's the natural vaccine. It's super nutrients. It's growth factor. It's anti-cancer. It's everything. Ask ChatGPT what it's known to do. Upper respiratory tract infections and symptoms reduction. Attenuation of exercise-induced immune suppression. Antiviral and antibacterial effects. Stopping leaky gut. Support for gastrointestinal disorders, which is the whole body. Enhance recovery and reduce inflammation, metabolic health, wound healing, and tissue repair. It goes on and on. And we have the non-pasteurized, super concentrated. It is incredible. Get your bovine colostrum, the first run sold out quick, back in stock. And when you buy bovine colostrum, the highest quality, theoxygenstore.com right now, you get 50% off on all the other supplements, the methylene blue, the Irish sea moss, the Shilajit, the ultimate life force, all of it. 50% off right now when you get bovine colostrum back in stock at theyellowshowstore.com, and it funds the second American Revolution worldwide. Now, I was out at dinner a few weeks ago after my dad had heart surgery, and my mom and my dad were ranting and raving about how great the bovine colostrum was they got. The last run sold out, but it's now back in stock for only a few days. If you buy it, already discounted, any other supplement, ultramethylene blue, the Shilajit, the spike protein detox, ultimate life force, they're all 50% off any other supplement when you get the bovine colostrum. It's so incredible. It's back in stock. Here's my parents at dinner.
But mom, you were literally without me soliciting. You've been on colostrum now 2 months. And we have the very best at theoxygenstore.com. And I'm serious. I didn't bring this up.
Tell us what happened. Testimonials. Tell us what happened. But I have been on the colostrum for about 2 or 3 months, and a back problem that I've had since Alex was born is almost completely gone after 50, however many years. And my hair is much thicker than it has been, and I have good hair anyway, but it's much thicker. And this is brand new.
Turned darker.
And darker. Beautiful.
So who's the convention to take it? Steve Heinberg or something?
Yeah, it was Mary Heinberg.
Yeah, they're really smart. Well, they're listeners. So, Mom, you got to listen. The products are amazing.
Well, this one, like I said, I don't do testimonials. There's a lot of good products. This is the first one that I can go, whoa, it really does work.
No, it's funny. I didn't even know the Heimbergs, I guess, because Steve and Mary, like a year ago, your house, like, you need to sell this. So we started, we got the best brand. It's the strongest. It's no joke. The first 2 weeks of mammals, milk is totally different. It's like magic.
That back problem was from when you were born. I have a pinched nerve or something. I never really know what it was.
Well, you can blame my whole life.
And it has bothered me. And I just go through the pain because if you're going to have it, you're going to have it, right? There's nothing to do about it.
Well, I haven't asked you this yet. Have you taken the methylene blue yet?
No, uh-uh. I'm scared of that.
Really?
I'm scared it'll make me like Roseanne Barr. Not that she's not wonderful. Just kidding.
You're afraid you'll be... Though she came on the show like 6 months ago, and she said, I don't know if I can do it. She just felt sick. I gave it to her. She was bouncing off the walls 30 minutes later.
How do you proportion this?
Well, you know, for some people, a generic supplement choice that's less, you know, radical than the methylene blue, which is incredibly powerful, might make more sense. Something like methyl drive, a power plant, ultimate burn even. But especially if you're talking, talking about younger people, methylene blue is radically powerful.
Absolutely. And then we've got the beauty claims. Love you, Charlotte.
Thank you.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited that you're all joining us today. Welcome back to the show. A lot happening over here. We're watching the White House because President Trump is expected to make a big announcement at 3 p.m. Eastern time, it sounds like. So we will bring you the updates on InfoWars, of course, when that happens. But a lot is underway, specifically in New York City. It's a commie takeover. And it's really a battle between two communists at this point. One's really, really bad, and one's like, not so bad, but definitely killed grandma. So what's going on right now in New York is very, very bad. Zohran Mahdani is the man we've been talking about in this program a lot lately, and I hate mentioning his name, but He has been in the works since 2014, we now know. Those on his campaign leaked that an undercover footage to Steven Crowder's Mug Club Undercover, and it has been, again, in the works for a long time. They are trying their very best to destroy this country, and taking over New York City is one of their big moves that they've planned out. It's 2014. This is crazy. Now listen here, okay? Madani sounds like a good person when you listen to him talk. If you're one of those lefties who sits back and believes that everyone should be equal, everyone should get rights in this country, everyone should get free, free, free everything. And they say people, they don't say Americans, they say people for a reason. Then you're really going to love clip 11, because Zohra Mahdani is making these promises to young people, these commie promises that he's going to fix all these issues. This one, though, gave me a good chuckle, because if you understand what country he comes from, you know he can't make right on this commitment. Take a listen.
My politics is consistent, and my politics is built on a belief in human rights for all people. And that extends to queer and trans New Yorkers, and it extends to queer and trans Ugandans.
Ah, he's looking to fight for human rights. How about you fight for human rights in your own country? Maybe go reach out to, what, the over 36 Arabic countries and try to get them to stick up for the LGBTQ, whatever community's rights at this point. But you won't. You won't. Instead, you're going to come here to our country, and you're going to pretend like you are an advocate for human rights when you were just only here to destroy our country, because you would never allow that type of propaganda in your own country. Why? Because, well, you know it would destroy your country. You know it destroys the nuclear family. And so that's why people like Zohra Mahdani are running for office. The goal is to destroy America, because America is standing in the way of the globalist takeover. And now, obviously, the jihadists are teaming up with the globalists, and that's what you got going on over here. Now, I don't really like Andrew Cuomo, never would advocate for him, don't think he's a good person, but here I am having to do the unthinkable. I actually, at this point, have to somehow, some way have any faith in him winning this race. That's where all my hope is going these days. And it's really bad to be at that point, but New York City, obviously a cesspool. The New York Republican Party itself is an absolute disgrace. Can't put up qualified candidates for anything. But the guy in who has lost previously, who is just not there. So again, I'm going to play this clip for you. This was a good one, actually, from Andrew Cuomo. He landed a good punch on Zohra Mahdani in clip 12, pretty much just calling him a lazy loser. Take a listen.
I understand my friend doesn't really understand government. The governor doesn't build housing in New York City.
Not if it's you.
No, legally, there are jurisdictions. The governor doesn't pick up trash. He doesn't run the fire department. That's what the mayor does. The mayor builds housing. The state allocates funding for localities. And I allocated more funding for housing than any governor in the history of the state of New York. All right. I did things. You have never had a job. You've never accomplished anything. There's no reason to believe you have any merit or qualification for 8.5 million lives. You don't know how to run a government. You don't know how to handle an emergency. And you've literally never proposed a bill on anything that you're not talking about in your campaign. You had the worst attendance record in the assembly, and you gave yourselves the highest raise in the United States of America. You went from $110,000 to $140,000, and then you never showed up for work, and you missed 80% of the votes. Shame on you. Shame on you.
Well, dang. Yeah, he's not qualified. He's not qualified at all to run for even the PTA. This guy is lazy. He's never had a real job ever. And as you heard Cuomo just lay out, he barely showed up to his job as a lawmaker. Ugh. Things are really bad. It's going to get even worse, though. Clip 13, you're going to hear Zohra Mahdani say that he wants 911 dispatchers to decide whether or not you need an actual law enforcement officer when you call for an emergency, or maybe just like a professional hugger. Take a listen.
What my opponents are clinging to is the past, because that's all that they know. What I am proposing is something that will address the needs of New Yorkers in the present. We speak and hear from New Yorkers across the five boroughs who outline how the mental health crisis is one of the major challenges in this city. And yet what we have in our city is asking those same police officers who are being asked to respond to shootings, respond to murders, to also respond to these calls. I trust the dispatchers who would be receiving these calls to make the determination as to whether there was any indication of violence. If there is no indication of a threat of violence, then we would set the mental health experts and providers to respond to those same incidents. The reason I believe
not looking good for New York City. Imagine if you have a domestic dispute and you are one of these peacemakers who is just going to go and you're armed with hugs and that's all you have. You don't have a weapon on you. It's one of the most dangerous calls any officer takes. But instead, that man, that commie, doesn't believe the police should be responding. Well, folks, those peacemakers, I'm sure no one's going to want that job in the first place. They'll probably outsource it, though, to illegal aliens. But the reality of it is this is really, really bad. Really, really bad. Zohran Mamdani doesn't like it. The fact that there's police in New York City, he's going to defund them. He's going to take away your law enforcement agencies. That's his goal. He doesn't want them to do their job. He doesn't want NYPD to do anything, actually. He's going to also have access, potentially, to the NYPD's counterterrorism data. That's freaking scary. But the worst part about all of this has to be the fact that he is taking away police from average New Yorkers. But him himself, no, he's special. He's requiring taxpayers to cough up the cash to pay for his security detail. I'm watching him go all over the city, and he's got a security detail with him. Again, in that undercover footage from Mug Club, they got this great audio from one of his directors saying that Zohran Mamdani walked into the headquarters with a bunch of cops around him. Imagine being a police officer and having that detail. That sucks. That sucks. But folks, what's going on in New York City is going to be happening all across this country. That is just their plan to take over New York City first, which obviously is the biggest city for this Islamic takeover. But if you don't push back now, we're in trouble. We are in some serious, serious trouble. All right, I want to play another clip for you. Independent journalism obviously thriving. You saw that there. That was Mug Club's footage. But James O'Keefe also doing an incredible job out there, and he's exposing all of the corruption that's going on right now with all of these groups who are taking advantage of these little loopholes, and they're outsourcing jobs. Well, he has really been digging in to this ATI, Government Solutions Group. He just recently caught up again, you know, before we played his clip, I believe it was earlier in the week, of him catching up with one of their employees. Well, now he's got another one. He got a senior director on audio, pretty much admitting to the same exact thing, how they pocket about 65% of $100 million in IRS contracts while outsourcing the work to others. And they're able to do it, of course, because they're claiming that they're a Native American-owned company. That's how they get that status. So James, again, in clip 14, is undercover. And here's what he's just exposed.
In our previous expose on ATI Government Solutions, a technology contractor, we uncovered them claiming 8A Native American-owned small business status while being entirely operated by Caucasian DC executives with Firmage Crutchfield as the CEO, and his wife, Olympic swimmer Marina Mulyayeva, as CFO, his business partner Scott Deutschman as CDO, and the Susanville Indian Rancheria seemingly playing no role at all, other than to appear as 51% owners, but only on paper.
Well, the discussion goes on to include the gentleman you see on your screen right now, and he is, we'll say allegedly, because these are allegations, maps out how they are taking advantage of the system, Now the DOJ is getting involved, it looks like, according to OMG. They have been informed by the DOJ that they have launched an investigation and will be digging into this corruption. All right, we're going to turn to clip 15 because Lara Trump is predicting something that I think a lot of people might want to hear if you're a J.D. Vance fan. She's predicting that J.D. Vance might one day be president J.D. Vance. Take a listen.
Vance is just over 40, and I think Oosh is 39. So yes, they're young, which is terrifying to the Democrats. Imagine, Stuart, we kept what we've seen happen over the past 10 years going for the next 8 years, which is what a lot of people believe is going to happen, that the Democrats are in such a bad spot with no leader, no message, and nothing that the American people are interested in, that once Donald Trump ends his term, and we love the Trump 2028 hats, don't kid yourself, I know everybody, especially a lot of Democrats love those, then it will be J.D. Vance for the next 8 years. And that is terrifying to the Democrat Party,
yeah,
who, of course, Jen Psaki is representing them right there.
And don't forget, the youngsters in the Democrat Party are basically socialists.
Yeah. So it's interesting to sit back and watch. If you're a J.D. Vance fan, this is something you probably want to hear. I don't like lining up our next presidential nominee this early on in the game. I'd rather see everyone else throw their hats in and pick the best candidate. So I will not be backing, obviously, anyone. But again, this is just something that everyone's pushing right now. They think that J.D. Vance is next in line for the presidency, and it should be a very, very interesting election season. But, you know, this is why we played the clip for you yesterday. This is why so many on the left are attacking J.D. Vance, because they're afraid. They're afraid. They're even going after his wife and saying his wife is somehow being held hostage, was kind of like their description on all of this over at The View, or one of the hosts over at The View. And obviously, folks, that's not the case. But they have a narrative to spin, and they are going to do just that. All right, let's turn to clip 16, because Governor Ron DeSantis is looking to end property tax. Now, that's a promise that they make here in Texas all the time. Republicans here are like, oh, we're going to end it. We're going to end it. We've got legislation that we're going to push through. And it never happens. And it never happens because, well, they don't actually intend on doing that. But Ron DeSantis says that is his intention. Take a listen.
We got to put it on the ballot, and the voters have to approve it. It's a constitutional issue in Florida. It's not something the state derives revenue for. It's a local issue. We're trying to focus on Florida homeowners and their primary resident, people that have Airbnbs or whatever. You know, that's separate. Yeah. But your personal home, you shouldn't rent it from the government. You should own it. And, you know, you're paying taxes for 50 years, but even for young families, it's become very difficult across this country to make ends meet. Wouldn't it be great if they were able to have home ownership without having the burden of property tax that? So that's coming to a ballot near you in November of 2026, and we need 60% of Florida voters to do it. And I think it's going to be very popular, but it's also something that's not an easy bar to reach when you have an election like that.
And, folks, we just got breaking news, and I received an email right now from ICE, and I wanted to bring that to you. We just dropped it right now on my X page, and it has to do with the story that we were just about to cover. So this is actually perfect timing. There was the footage, devastating footage, of that truck that crashed into 8 vehicles. Now it appears the suspect is an illegal alien from India. This happened in California. He's since been charged with vehicular manslaughter and then driving while intoxicated. Those are the accusations he's facing. 3 people were killed in this brutal, brutal accident. Now, ICE has just placed a detainer on him. And of course, because it's California, you never know. If he is somehow, some way released, ICE is hoping to take custody of him so they can deport him. But again, you just look at the dashboard camera. I mean, it is infuriating. This 21-year-old is the one who is apparently driving this truck, crashes, doesn't even apply his brakes, just crashes and plows through these people. Oh man, it makes you get so effing angry. This is what they've done to this country. This is what they've done to this country. They've sat here and imported the third world into our country. They don't give a damn about American lives. Doesn't give a damn to even apply his brakes. I mean, how the heck, how are you that out of it? Matt, what's your thoughts on this? Because this really fires me up.
I mean, if people are going to sneak into the country illegally, right? What makes you think they're going to respect our laws in the first place?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
This is just, you know, it's a totally avoidable tragedy.
It is an avoidable tragedy. If they just enforce the laws. I mean, this is infuriating. And this guy, too, according to ICE, I mean, he was here for a very long time. They pull up the email exactly because they detail all of it. He's been, I think he's on an expired license. I mean, a visa. So he should have been gone a long time ago, I believe. Let me pull it up if I could get it up quick enough. But they just announced this. I mean, this is infuriating. This is infuriating. No, actually, I'm lying to you. He apparently entered into the country back in 2022. The visa one I'm talking about is another one who recently is accused of a heinous crime. But this guy right here, he was recently entered the United States back in 2022 through the southern border and was released to the country by none other than the Biden regime. That is according to ICE directly. It really fires me up because these people shouldn't be in our country in the first place. They put all these lives at risk. And no one gives a damn about the 3 people who just lost their lives. Literally, you're stopped because you're paying attention to the traffic that's building up. And this guy just plows right through you. 8 cars he hit. 8 of them. 8 of them. And then he just plows through them, annihilating the people in that vehicle that you saw. It's just so infuriating, but this is what's going on throughout our country. We talk about it all the time. They've imported people from the third world. And again, this is the same type of incident that happened in Florida too with the man from India, illegal, who just decided, I'm going to make a U-turn here. Made a U-turn, no care for the people behind him. A group of three immigrants murdered in that one too. But when they pop out, I'd love to see the officer body cam footage, whether he had an ounce of emotion after just taking those lives. This guy doesn't even blink. Absolute garbage we've imported. Absolute garbage. You know, and I know a lot of people get fired up over this when I say this, but I'm going to keep saying it because it's true. If you look at the map of what countries we've imported illegally into this country, illegally is the key word here, folks. Under the Biden regime, they intentionally imported those from third world countries. Mass numbers. I mean, literally flying planes to get them into our country. Why? Because they know that they are low IQ'd, that if they ever get the right to vote, that they're going to vote for Democrats because they are going to rely on the government. And so that's what you get. You get that kind of nonsense.
Another piece of sage advice I would offer would be, you know, when you're on the road nowadays, just due to the nature that the trucking industry is seeing a major shortage. You know, we've all heard news reports of AI trucks helping to, they're going into circulation on the West Coast. People are trying beta testing with trucks. Obviously, that's where the industry is moving with automated driving and things like that, because there is such a massive shortage. But with that being said, there are less experienced truck drivers on the road nowadays, and it's just more important than ever for drivers on the road to be paying attention to these trucks, to be looking in your rear view, to be trying to avoid them, to pass with caution and pass swiftly. Because when it comes to trucks, you can either be wrong or you can be dead wrong.
Yeah. No, I mean, Matt, it's true. It's sad, though. It's so sad, but you're 100% true. I mean, I see one coming up for me, I switch lanes. One pulls up next to me, I try to switch lanes. I just don't like them. I mean, I get, like, it's not all of them, obviously. You know, we have some great American patriots who are truck drivers. But then you have this, and this is enraging. And I know the Department of Transportation is doing their very best to hold these people accountable. There was the other one, too. We played it for you in the beginning of this week. I believe we played it for you on Monday. The Secretary of the Department of Transportation, Sean Duffy, coming out and saying they were investigating. Again, the guy had a thick accent. He sounded like he was Indian. But he was driving the wrong way, his semi down the wrong way, down a highway. And thank God an American trucker stopped him and said, what the heck are you doing? What the heck are you doing? This is the video footage that was released by the Department of Transportation. They're actually trying to find that truck driver. And when he's asking for an explanation, the guy can't even understand when the American's telling him, put on your hazards. And he blocks him. I mean, thank God. Thank God that he stopped him. No care in the world. Do we have audio on this video so we could play it? We could play his response. Okay, we're gonna play his response right now because it's the level of stupidity is infuriating. Take a listen to what happens when this American truck driver, in case you missed it earlier this week, confronts what sounds like a foreigner as he's driving the wrong way down the highway.
You have got to be fucking kidding me. I mean, what the fuck are you? Dude, what? What are you doing?
I'm going that way. Right here. But it's not working. I'm going down the side.
Let me ask you a question, man.
Okay.
You are going the wrong way down the freeway. You are committing a felony right now.
Okay, what I'm doing, sir?
Well, one, why the fuck going the wrong way down the freeway?
That's the right. I'm doing it, sir.
Well, no, I'm just asking because
I'm so sorry, but where is the car? I go that side, but that's not.
Yeah, turn around when you have a clear spot. Okay. Don't even move your truck. Turn your hazard lights on, for one. Okay. Turn your hazard lights on now. Your hazard lights, your blinkers. Your blinkers, your hat. Turn your hazard lights on. They're on, okay.
Okay, I'll do
They are. These are our These are the exceptions to the rule. You know, it's crazy, Matt, if you want to weigh in on this too. I mean, I think it's so insane. I know people don't like to say it, but we have imported a lot of stupid people, and this is the results of it. I mean, they just don't. And I live in Plano, as everyone knows now, it's been outed, but we deal with this every single day. Matt, your thoughts?
Oh, I mean, these guys are all the exceptions to the rule. No, I was just kind of talking about that, but it just seems like we're encountering these news reports more and more frequently. Yeah. And it is a travesty that we're allowing people to drive on the roads. And like we saw in that last clip, the guy didn't have the ability to read or comprehend which way he was going. This is stuff that people who, again, grow up in America, right, aren't even licensed to drive, but they understand road signs, mm-hmm. right? How many people who are 14, 15 years old could probably pass a driver's ed test without, you know, any experience, right? It comes naturally to a lot of people. But when you've been raised in a totally different culture, society, right, it's, I would say that anybody listening who has driven maybe in Europe or in Mexico understands that there is a different culture on the road to driving, right? In Europe, in European countries, people are, they lay on the horn way more frequently, right? Just to let you know that they're there, mm-hmm. right? In Mexico, what I would have to say is that people are, generally speaking, more aggressive drivers, and they're definitely way more prone to try to get into a spot, right? I'm not casting shade or condemnation on this, but I'm just acknowledging the reality that there are different cultures of driving in different countries. And to expect that someone's just going to pick that up overnight and be able to, drive responsibly and safely within the U.S., I think is a big ask.
Yeah. Yeah. And we know a lot of them just really don't have a desire to assimilate. So, that's that. It's just so infuriating that we've allowed this to happen to our great country. And thankfully, the Department of Transportation is going to make this a top issue for them, obviously. But I wonder too, Matt, I mean, you were just kind of mentioning it too. I wonder how many of these people, or how many incidences that these were having prior, and that the previous regime wasn't going to disclose their immigration status. I'm sure this was happening under the last administration, but they just failed to tell us. They were aggressively fighting hard on telling me most basics when I came to whether someone was an American citizen or not who committed a crime. They wouldn't just close that to me when I reached out all the time. So I'm pretty sure if we were to dig back in the archives, we'd find several more of these accidents taking place by illegal aliens. They're just refusing to tell us. Not surprising, though. All right, folks, we got a ton more to unpack in the show. Up next, obviously, Savannah Hernandez joining us. We're excited about that because Savannah, she's pointing out where all the illegals are, and ICE is listening, and they're going right there, and that's got the mainstream media really ticked off. So she'll be joining us in a few moments, as well as Mike Benz joining the show, too. We had him in studio yesterday. I'll play for you our discussion. It was a great one. In the meantime, though, head on over to the alexjonesstore.com because colostrum is back in stock. And I know so many of you at home were looking to re-up your supply, so now you can. Head on over to the alexjonesstore.com. When you buy one tub of colostrum, you're going to get another supplement 50% off while supplies last. Now, in case you didn't know, colostrum is a super weapon, and it could be used to repair your gut health, immune power. It also could be used for muscle recovery, stress support, toxin shields, and it helps you better absorb your nutrients. So head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com and grab some colostrum while it's still here. Money.
The American spirit is the fire of freedom, ignited by the Founding Fathers' fearless words on the printing press, carried by Paul Revere's midnight ride to warn of tyranny's approach. It's the courage of the Alamo, where men and women stood against impossible odds for a better tomorrow. It's the resolve of a nation daring to dream beyond the stars. InfoWars is that spirit reborn. We are the lighthouse, shining truth on the hidden rocks of corruption, foreign and domestic. We challenge power, expose lies.
I'm here to warn people. You keep telling me to shut up. This isn't a game.
And arm we the people with knowledge to forge their own path. This is the fight for freedom. InfoWars is you, me, and every patriot who dares to seek the truth. Join us. Stand tall. for when the stakes are this high. Truth is our greatest weapon. InfoWars is America.
Alex Jones, patriot. A man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life. But they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
Welcome back to the American Journal. I feel like this music has me feeling a little classier, so I'll try to match the tone. But we got a lot coming your way in just a few moments. We're excited that you're here for the third hour of the American Journal. I feel like time is flying by. I'm excited because Savannah Hernandez is going to be joining us in just a few moments. She's got the media triggered, and it's because when Savannah points to illegal aliens, ICE is listening, and they did a raid on Canal Street. It was actually an incredible thing to sit back and watch, because if you've been to Canal Street as a New Yorker, I've been there several times, there's a lot of illegals there. And they probably could do more digging into that. And I think that's really going to be important for them to do. So we'll have Savannah on to sound off about that, because Savannah's done more independent journalism work than the actual mainstream media. And they're using the term, they use this on me too, MAGA influencer, because they're trying to discredit your hard work. But again, they're not exposing anything. They're competing, or I wouldn't even say competing, I'd say they're complying with the machine. And so Savannah's got a lot to say on that front. We'll also be joined by Mike Benz as well. He joined me yesterday in studio for a sit down. We talked about so much, and we'll play that for you today. Mike Benz, not a morning person, We're on opposites. If you follow him on social media, you know that guy is up all hours of the night playing piano, going to Korean barbecue. And so we were able to get him, and we'll play that interview for you in just a bit. But folks, a lot that we're uncovering, we're digging into. I broke that news to you just a few moments ago about that illegal alien. We've now confirmed that that truck driver is not from the United States. He's from India. He came into the country illegally, according to the ICE and Department of Homeland Security as well. They just pushed out that email saying that they've slapped a detainer on this man that you see on your screen right now. He was let into the country by, get this, the Biden regime. They released him when he entered in 2022. And sadly, he has now killed three people. He's allegedly was high during the accident, didn't even apply his brakes, his truck slamming into eight cars, it looks like, causing this pileup that you see here. Absolutely devastating. Those poor people who were killed in this. We hope they're held accountable. And it's great that ICE has put this detainer on him. They're going to keep an eye on it because it's California. And although he's only charged with manslaughter, you know, California liberal hacks, they'll probably release this guy. And they'll probably try to not give him over to ICE, because that's how things work in the state of California. They side that they're illegals and they just say, yeah, we don't care about the rest of the world. So we hope ICE could get him and wrangle him in if that does happen. But like I mentioned, Mike Benz is joining us a little bit. Mike Benz is going to be talking about John Brennan, because John Brennan, we played that clip for you early in the show. He's not very happy that the Judiciary Committee, the chairman, Jim Jordan, has just asked the DOJ for a criminal charge to be slapped on Brennan. They're referring him, obviously, because they say he lied to Congress. Now, John Brennan was like weeping yesterday, saying, oh, I can't believe I served this country for years. I'm a bureaucrat. I should have some type of immunity. But he doesn't have immunity. No, he doesn't. He, in fact, will likely have to face charges, because this will apply some pressure to the DOJ to slap those charges on him now that they have a criminal referral to back it up. And even Jim Jordan's like, I've got tons of evidence. There's enough here to charge this guy. So he knows that he's next on the accountability tour, and he's likely going to be the fourth deep stater to get charged. So we're excited to see that. That should happen. And again, lying to Congress is literally the bare minimum when it comes to the charges that he should be facing. I'm going to be talking to Mike Benz about that, too, because Mike, He's been following John Brennan for quite some time, digging into the archives. He knows what Brennan should be charged with. And so Brennan should just be happy if he's just charged with that. So we'll be talking to Benz about that in just a few moments as well. So a lot happening over here. If you haven't done so already, we made the announcement late yesterday evening. The big announcement, the official Alex Jones app, you know, it's also known as AJN Live. It is now available for Android users. So head on over right now to the alexjonesapp.com. Whether you're an Android user or an Apple user, you could download the app directly from that website. It makes things very, very easy, of course. So do just that now. And also, when you download the app, you're going to get an exclusive 20% off your next purchase over at the alexjonesstore.com. And again, that promo code could be used exclusively, of course. There's so many incredible items that we just got back, like colostrum back in stock. So you're going to want to head on over to the alexjonesstore.com and stock up while supplies last. More coming up with Savannah Hernandez next.
Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got 4 bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited that you're all joining us today. Got a lot to expose, a lot of corruption, a lot of deep staters were calling out the show. So thank you for being with us, of course. Entering the third hour of the program, and we dug into a lot. But let's bring our focus back to New York City, because New York City, obviously, it's a commie takeover. We spoke about that earlier in the show. But a lot of illegal aliens have flooded New York City. My former home has been completely taken over, and it's devastating to sit back and watch. I've sat back for the last 4 years and watched as the city has completely crumbled, and it's really sad to see. But when you go to the streets of New York City, you are harassed by these illegal aliens, and a lot of them are scammers. A lot of them are pushing all these fake products, all these counterfeit products onto New Yorkers or tourists who are walking through the streets, and they make you feel very uncomfortable, like on Canal Street. You know, Nick Shirley was walking around the streets when he was calling out these scammers, and they got very, very aggressive with him because they don't like the fact that you call them out. In fact, the person who confronted Nick, the illegal apparently it was illegal, surprise, surprise, he has since been arrested by ICE. Now, he got arrested because of an ICE raid, which really ticked off those on the left. And of course, if you're wondering why that ICE raid even took place in the first place, it's because Savannah Hernandez exposed what's happening on Canal Street. Now, as somebody who has strolled through Canal Street several times, I could tell you that this is a common practice here. I didn't know that the Africans took over, though. I did know that this was a heavy Chinese area for the most part. You could get your counterfeit products. They had them in stores when I was 19 years old, very ignorant, didn't realize how dangerous it was. I was walking around, would go into these little shops. And then they had these alarms that would go off in the city. Whenever they see like a NYPD vehicle drive down the street, everyone would slam their doors shut. And I actually got stuck in one of them when I was 19 and thought, oh my gosh, they're going to like kidnap me and take me to be trafficked. But thankfully that didn't happen. But they have all these back door alleys too that you could walk up. I didn't go through that. My friends did. They live on the crazy side, not so much me, but, it's a very dangerous part of town. So this was great to see that now ICE is raiding Canal Street. So they wrapped up about 8 of these illegals, it looks like, and they are looking to ship them off back to their homeland. And this has a lot of people very unhinged about it, and they're taking it out on Savannah Hernandez. So she joins us now, the incredible independent journalist and Turning Point contributor, joins us today to discuss. Savannah, you've been very busy, girl, out there exposing all of this. And, you know, we joke, but when I saw you point to Canal Street. Suddenly they went over there and conducted this raid, and it's got a lot of people triggered. So give us some background on all of this. What was happening on Canal Street that you noticed?
Sure, Brianna. So first off, I was in New York for the No Kings protest. I was not there to report on the illegal immigration crisis. Now, I have reported on it extensively since 2022 because, as we all know, New York has been a hotbed and epicenter for illegal immigration due to their sanctuary city policies. So I was there for the No Kings protest. I didn't even mean to cover the immigration angle, but as I was Ubering back to my hotel, I saw this street, right? And I have never seen Canal Street before. I'll be, you know, fully honest with you. I'm not from New York. I'm often reporting over there, but I've never been in this area. Yeah. So I see this street, and I was just in Paris a couple weeks ago, and it looked exactly like the streets of Paris, which kind of just, you know, set off an alarm bell for me. I thought, this is really interesting. I'm not used to seeing hordes of African migrants on the street hawking fake goods. This is exactly what I saw in Europe. What is going on here? So I stopped. I started checking out the scene. One, New Yorkers and, you know, other tourists were pissed off because they could barely walk on the sidewalk because of how much traffic was there. Two, the migrants were being very aggressive. I was there, of course, filming, and they were trying to shout me down and say, hey, you can't film here. Don't point the camera at us. Very similar to the scene that we saw in Paris. And again, I thought that this was interesting because of the demographics specifically that was here. Like you talked about, Brianna, it was typically Chinese vendors. And again, I've been to New York a bunch, so I'm kind of used to and understand what this scene does look like on the ground. But the African demographic was definitely new. So I went and I started speaking to a lot of them. They told me that they were all from Senegal. I think I spoke to like five or six of them, and every single one was like, yeah, we're from Senegal. They all got in under the Biden administration. I started filming just, again, my simple observations, and the video went viral. And it went viral in part because a lot of liberals were roasting me for basically discovering Canal Street for the first time. Again, this wasn't so much about the street so much as the fact that we're supposed to be living under the Trump administration, which has touted mass deportations and law and order. So I was more shocked than anything that illegal immigrants were so brazenly committing illegal activity in broad daylight on the streets of New York. So I posted the video 2 days later. ICE came in. And, you know, all of their federal partners as well. So you had the DEA, ATF, various, I think you even had IRS agents that were there. And you had about 50 of them go and conduct a full sweep of Canal. And it is now completely cleared out, which is not normal for this area.
Yeah, and I think it's really interesting because this area, like I said, it's usually Asians out there doing this. And so I had no idea. And it, honestly, if you didn't report it, I would have never known because I had no idea that the Africans have taken over it. And it's interesting because I did actually stop in Paris for a bit. And I noticed, I was actually really sad. I didn't want to leave the airport when I realized how bad things had gotten in Paris with their migrant crisis. The streets of Paris have been completely taken over, and it's really, really sad. But these people aren't friendly. They don't want you to cover them. They don't want you to take videos. Our laws allow us to take videos. They don't like that, and they become very aggressive and threatening. And so it was good to see that one of them who actually went after Nick was arrested in all of this too. I think that's incredible. And it's interesting.
And you know what, Brianna, yeah. Actually, sorry to cut you off, no. But I was talking to Nick because, you know, his video went viral from a couple months back too. And it was funny because I called him, and he's out in New York quite a bit. And I was like, hey, Nick, have you ever seen Canal Street? And he goes, oh yeah, I actually was there about a month ago. I got attacked. He showed me the video, and he and I were talking about how, you know, typically with the Venezuelan illegal immigrants or South American illegal immigrants, they are often times like the same size as us. Whereas the African illegal immigrants, they're very tall. They're very aggressive. And, you know, we see that in Nick Shirley's video. So like you were saying too, Brianna, the demographic here is way more aggressive than other migrants. And that's something that I do want to hound home because the media right now is trying to say, and all of the, you know, Democratic New York politicians as well, they're trying to say that these are simple street vendors. I even saw somebody on X try to label these people as immigrant entrepreneurs. That is not what these people are. They're very aggressive. They will get in your face if they don't like you. I was even watching them like pull the purses out of women's hands aggressively if they didn't like the price that these people were offering them, right? They're very aggressive. This is a very big safety concern for Americans. So, again, seeing it cleaned up so quickly was quite frankly shocking, and I was not expecting that to happen.
Yeah, well, they move in pretty quickly, and I thought it was interesting. I actually learned recently, this was maybe a couple of years ago, that a lot of these counterfeit products, they're being used to fund terrorism, Islamic terrorists. And so there's a direct correlation between that and what you're purchasing on the street. So that's why I'll never support any of it now. And I think more Americans should look into that. It was a news package I saw where they dug into all of this. I don't remember what the exact source was, but they dug into all of this, and it's all linked back to Islamic terrorism, and funding just that. So I thought that was fascinating in itself. But New York City also has a big issue, and I did flag it for ICE as well. It's great that they were in the streets grabbing these people, but they need to go into the buildings as well. There's a lot of sketchy massage parlors around there, and not even in just on Canal Street, but over in Jackson Heights, which is Queens, New York. I used to love going around there for you know, drinks and dinner and stuff. It was a great area at the time, but it's been sadly taken over by prostitution, and they're not voluntarily there, those women. I strongly believe that they're being trafficked there. A lot of these women can't speak English, but they're being forced to work the streets. And so it'd be really good for ICE to go out there and rescue these women. And I'm sure they probably got some children out there as well, since we're missing still 300,000 children in this country. If they were actually going to these buildings. Yeah.
I wanted to jump in there too on the children aspect. When you go to New York, you are still seeing migrant children walking throughout the subways with candy. Every single time I'm at a protest, you're still seeing those migrant children walking around with the boxes of candy trying to sell them. And again, I'm immediately asking the question, why is a child out here by themselves clearly illegal? I mean, this is an issue that is so easy to recognize, right? Mm-hmm. And it's funny because the left wing tries to pretend that, well, how do you know that they're illegal? You know, we can't just go in and start taking people and rounding them up. How are we going to know who's documented and who's not? Well, for one, they don't speak a lick of English. For two, it was like when the migrants were going through airports, Brianna, from 2022 to 2024 with big manila folders. You could clearly tell they were illegal immigrants. I would report on that, and then liberals on X would be like, you're a fake reporter. How do you know they're illegal? And I was like, yeah, probably because it's written in big English letters in Sharpie. Hey, I don't speak English. Please help me find my gate. So again, that's the one faction of America that we're dealing with, and it's just really crazy. I mean, I say it's crazy, but I guess it's just common for the left wing and the Democratic Party to continue to promote this type of violence and stand up for these people. And, you know, you even had Zohran Mamdani say that this was aggressive and reckless, that this raid was horrible. This is the potential future mayor of New York City. I think he is actually going to be. Essentially stating that this type of illegal activity on the streets of New York, which make the streets unsafe for everybody, especially children, he is standing up for the criminals here. Why is that the norm now? Why is it that Democrats can't just simply come forward and say, hey, you know what? Maybe we should clean up the streets for American citizens. Maybe we should enact a little bit of law and order for the law-abiding citizens that are trying to make a living. So, I mean, that's where we've gotten to as a country, where you now have one faction of our politicians openly calling for lawlessness in the street and then attacking anybody who's highlighting what's going on.
Yeah, and just to piggyback on that too, I know you mentioned Zohran Mamdani's name. We just got word that he's expected, Eric Adams is expected to endorse Andrew Cuomo for mayor. Mm. So things are so bad that they're really trying their best, I would say moderate Democrats, to slam the brakes on Zohran Mamdani, and Eric Adams even trying to throw that endorsement there, hoping that lands. But I don't know how that's going to work for him. So we'll keep our eye on that. But you also are dealing with your own type of issues right now, because this is interesting, right? They're reporting on this on the left-wing medias, and they're saying that you are a MAGA influencer. Now, this is a term they use when they want to discredit journalists. I know it because they refer to me as a MAGA influencer, even though for many of these so-called journalists, I have worked in the mainstream media for longer than they have. I've broken more stories than they have, but they use MAGA influencers to discredit your hard work. And Savannah, you've been out there in the streets connecting with people, actually covering stories that matter, exposing corruption. And so the MAGA influencer thing is an intentional try to slap in the face to all the incredible work you've done. What's your reaction when you see that they just try to do that to slander your name a bit?
You know, it's an honor, because I have a quote unquote journalist calling me a MAGA influencer while I'm actually on the ground covering these stories and bringing light to what's really going on in the United States. So it's funny to me, you know, I even had a New York City council member that called me a far right poverty tourist, which is hilarious because, again, Brianna, I was simply driving past the streets of New York and I was like, what's going on here? So I think that speaks more highly to what the Democratic Party has done to the streets of New York than it does, you know, my reporting on the matter. But regarding the media, like I said, myself aside, because we know that they try to discredit the work of people who are truly showing what is going on, I think it's more disheartening to see them try to whitewash what Canal Street is and try to label these people as innocent immigrant entrepreneurs when, again, in fact, they are committing illegal activity. And if you or I, Brianna, committed illegal activity as American citizens, we would be facing the full force of the law. And I myself am tired of the two-tier justice system. I know a lot of other people are tired of it. That's why Donald Trump overwhelmingly won the presidential election, because people are tired of these two sets of society that we live in, where if you're a law-abiding citizen, the full force of the law is going to be utilized against you if you make one tiny misstep. Meanwhile, you're an illegal immigrant who can walk over the border, hawk fake goods on the street, attack people, and get free medical care, shelter, and food in New York City.
Yeah, and it's infuriating. And this reminds me of your reporting, and I actually love the fact that you posted this on X. If DHS is watching, and I'm sure they are, they need to make this their next stop. But your coverage about the Bronx migrant facility that was there, the I believe it was a hotel, if I'm mistaken. Was it a hotel originally that was converted for housing?
So it was just this big shelter that they had converted. I mean, there was nothing going on in this shelter, but they converted it to migrant housing, 2,200 beds specifically for migrant men in the area. And back in January, the residents of the Bronx were really angry about this because they didn't have any say. Basically, Eric Adams said, hey, we're going to be moving these migrants over here. They didn't, talk to any of the people. They didn't ask any of the business owners. So there was a lot of anger about that back in January.
Yeah, and it's still ongoing. As you just reported, there's still the beds are still there, the shelters are still being utilized. Is that correct? I mean, that's surprising given Eric Adams says that he's going to work with the federal government to get these illegals out of the city.
Well, if you look at Eric Adams' response to the raid on Canal Street, he immediately tried to distance himself from it. So there's your view on Eric Adams, right? He was basically saying, well, law enforcement should only be going after criminals, which they did. If you look at the nine people arrested, they're linked to domestic violence, drug trafficking, forgery, counterfeit, take your pick on whichever crime. So Eric Adams has been very soft on this issue. And what's really happening in New York is they are simply moving those illegal immigrants from all of those shut down hotels like Roosevelt, right? That was like one of the most iconic and biggest migrant hotels. That one shut down, I want to say, back in July of this year. What they're doing is simply moving the migrants into the homeless shelters and then telling the homeless shelter employees that it is illegal to disclose the immigration status of their the people who are utilizing the shelter system, and that also they shouldn't even comply with ICE detainer requests. On top of that, what New York is doing is simply pushing the migrants out of Manhattan so it's not as visible of a crisis, and they're moving them through various parts of New York, like the Queens, Bronx, and even, the upper portions of New York State. So they're basically just trying to hide this issue from journalists like myself for being able to, go and film it very easily, but it's still ongoing, and this is something that's happening in blue states across the nation, Brianna. These migrants have been getting moved into apartments in the outer boroughs, the outer neighborhoods, these small cities and towns throughout these various states, and that's how they're being hidden right now.
Yeah, Savannah, we see the clips that pop up online of people who live in New York talking about it, and, we even have people who call into our show, and they're really upset because, New York City obviously is a melting pot, and that is something that's been ongoing for decades now, and that's not the problem here. It's this takeover of illegals who think that they're owed something, don't want to contribute. That's the difference here majorly, and they're not looking to contribute culture-wise either. They're looking just to take over. When you're talking to folks in New York City and other places about what's happening to them over the last 4 years, what's their reaction to not only just the illegals that have been dropped there, but President Trump trying to get them out?
New Yorkers are happy that their streets are getting cleaned up. And if you think about this issue as well, it is a quality of life issue. I mean, you can't even get a DoorDash order in New York City delivered properly because the migrant who is delivering it can't speak English, can't read the address, and then boom, there you go, you're out $50. You can't even call this person because you can't communicate. So again, it's small things like this that have added up for New Yorkers. It was Roosevelt Hotel. It was the Row Hotel being completely filled with illegal immigrants who, again, were receiving free Metro cards, free health care, free food every day, free laundry service, and then going on the streets of New York and essentially loitering. You had these giant moped gangs that are now involved in these snatch and grabs, of New Yorkers on the street. You have Tren de Aragua that has established themselves in New York, and you know, they were in court hearings essentially saying, oh, sorry, we shot at NYPD. That's the norm in Venezuela. We didn't know. So it's this type of criminal activity that has just been so exhausting for New Yorkers. And they themselves are tired of this, too. And it's crazy as well, Brianna, because you said, you know, New York is a melting pot. And this is something that I've heard from a lot of New Yorkers as well. And they still hold that sentiment, but they are tired of the illegal immigrants. They realize it's gotten out of hand. And I think that's reflected in the fact that even Mayor Eric Adams, who, you know, is a Democrat, during the Biden administration was going head to head with the federal government because of, you know, the billions of dollars that they were having to spend on this illegal immigration crisis.
Yeah. And as a result of that, they ended up trying to get him criminally prosecuted, which obviously President Trump has stopped. But they tried their very best to prosecute him, go after him for corruption allegations. And I mean, as someone who literally I started my beat in New York City, there's a lot of corruption within the Democratic Party itself, but they protect their own. And so to see that Eric Adams was singled out for all of this because of his aggression on the illegal alien invasion going on in New York City, what was very concerning, again, I don't even think that the allegations he was facing were as severe as the ones that we've covered with Cuomo himself and with obviously Kathy Hochul, the governor of New York. So they singled him out, and it sounds like now he's falling in line, but I think he's doing so hopefully with the best intentions on trying to save the city and trying to pull those kids away from communism. We'll see how this goes. It's not looking good for New York, though. They've got three candidates running right now. The Republican candidate, Curtis Leewald, not stepping away anytime soon. He also is one saying that the raid that was done on Canal Street was wrong, and that's supposed to be the Republican candidate. So there's really no options. All three are horrible, and it's not looking good for New York. But Savannah, you're doing incredible work, and we love what you're doing, and we're very thankful for it. You're exposing all of this, and you're going to high-risk situations. You're covering the Islamic takeover of our country right now, as well as the immigration-related issues, and it's all for Turning Point. So thank you so much for all the great work you do. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Brianna. Always enjoy coming on.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, we love to have you back on InfoWars, of course. It's great to see. You know, everyone keeps bragging about how Savannah Hernandez started it all here, and they love to see how you flourish. So we're excited to see it as well. So thank you.
Thanks, Brianna.
All right, a lot going on here on InfoWars, folks. We told you that the app, see, that's the great picture. They love showing this one off because they're very proud of Savannah, of course. But we now have an app. And so if you haven't done so already, make sure you head on over to the store to go download it. Or you can just head over to alexjonesapp.com. That's the easy way to download it. We've made it very simple for you. It's how you stay in touch with us. Let's say the doors get locked tomorrow. Well, guess what? This is how you stay in touch with us. Head on over to the alexjonesapp.com right now. Download the app. And also, when you do, we're throwing in a little incentive here. You get 20% off over at thealexjonesstore.com. It's an exclusive promo code you get when you download the app. And you can buy something like colostrum, which is back in stock. I know a lot of you guys love this. We've got it back. And when you buy one tub of colostrum, you get 50% off another supplement. So this is a great deal that you're going to want to head on over and indulge in. Again, if you're not so sure about what colostrum is, let me give you a little bit of a breakdown. It helps with gut repairs. It rebuilds your gut lining to support digestion and immune health, of course. It also works, again, with your immune health as well. It helps power your immune system. And it also helps, this is a big one if you're someone who works out quite often, with muscle recovery. It helps rebuild your tissue and reduce soreness. It's also a great way to reduce, you know, stress maybe. Stress support is another great attribute to this as well. Shielding you from your toxins, all the toxins that we take in every single day. This is going to help protect you against that. Those daily pollutants that we interact with all the time, the bio threats that are now in our environment, thanks to all of the people who have been slowly but surely poisoning us. They've ramped that up over the years, of course. This is great for that. And it helps you absorb your nutrients. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Grab this while it's still in stock. It is as of right now. We don't know how much longer that's going to last. All right, Mike Benz is going to be joining me in a few moments as well. We talked about that. I had him in studio yesterday. We had a very lengthy conversation, and we're going to play that for you in just a few moments. But like I said, when Savannah was on, we just got the news. It came down that Eric Adams is going to be likely endorsing Andrew Cuomo to run New York City next. Eric Adams was running for re-election, but he did not have the support of New Yorkers. So now, whatever support he had, he's going to try to shift over to Cuomo and hopes that that saves the city from a major communist takeover. I've always said that Andrew Cuomo was a commie. He pushed horrible things into the state's budget back in 2019. I'll just give you a quick 50-second overview. He pushed in criminal justice reform, the banning of plastic bags, giving salary increases to state legislators. All of it was forced into the state's budget, which forced them to vote on it, which really just destroyed New York City, destroyed the entire state. But he is now running for New York City mayor, so it's not getting any better. Not getting any better for New York, so we'll continue to follow it as it develops, of course. But it looks like the endorsement is happening. Very sad day for New York City, of course. Not much of a candidate to pick amongst these three. We'll be right back.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his self-supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together. And they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, that has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good, right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's like, amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it, like, happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where, like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, this is not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish Sea Moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. No, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the show. We are talking about the accountability tour now because, folks, It's about damn time that we go after those who went after President Trump and tried their very best to destroy this country. And it looks like finally the Judiciary Committee is doing their part. Chairman Jim Jordan sent over a criminal referral in regards to the ex-CIA director John Brennan earlier this week. Now, interesting enough, that criminal referral is all about John Brennan allegedly lying to Congress. And the interesting angle on all this, we'll actually play the clip for you because, well, they're accusing John Brennan of lying while speaking to, at the time, Congressman Matt Gaetz. Well, Jim Jordan joined Matt Gaetz to discuss. Take a listen.
Walk us through your criminal referral regarding Obama CIA director John Brennan.
Well, as you know, Matt, you're not supposed to lie, but you're definitely not supposed to lie when you're under oath in front of the United States Congress. And it looks like that's exactly what John Brennan did. And one of the individuals he lied to is the host of the Matt Gaetz show. When you asked him, I thought a great question about the dossier, and he said, I had no involvement with the dossier. He told the committee that he didn't want the dossier in any way referenced in the intelligence community assessment. But guess what? Tulsi Gabbard released the classified version. She declassified the HPSI report, and it says just the opposite. It says Brennan was up to his eyeballs with the dossier, that he actually put in writing he wanted it in the report. And the best one was when another CIA official came to Mr. Brennan and said, Mr. Brennan, there's no intelligence to support the dossier. It's ridiculous. It shouldn't be in this report. He says, yeah, but doesn't it ring true?
And joining me now to discuss in studio is Mike Benz. He's the executive director of Foundation for Freedom Online. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the studio. We're excited to have you here today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, this is exciting news. We've been talking about it on this show. It's the accountability tour, although the left will say it's retaliation for those who went after President Trump, and they were obligated to do so, of course. It's the accountability tour. People like this are being held accountable, Mike.
It's our version of the Taylor Swift Eras tour. We've had the indictment of James Comey. Yeah. For perjury, when he himself was going after Trump and allies around these perjury charges, we have the indictment for Letitia James for essentially housing fraud when she went after Trump for housing. It's like all these people threw the biggest rocks while living in the thinnest glass houses. And John Brennan, when it's important to have accountability on this at the intelligence level, because when the CIA comes out and says the Steele dossier is legit, or says we didn't include this, we have such great evidence that Trump is a pawn of the Russians, and it has nothing to do with this dossier, but we can't tell you what all the, it would reveal sources and methods. That gives the entire American media carte blanche to say, to run with that story and to build a Jenga tower of complete lies based on these, base building blocks where they say, well, the intelligence committee wouldn't lie to American citizens. So if this is true that the intelligence committee says Trump is a Russian puppet and they have all this other great evidence beyond the Steele dossier, which is clearly bunk, well, then we can take this story and run with it from January 6, 2017, all the way up until mid 2019, 2.5 years they ran with this until Bob Mueller collapsed on the stand and revealed that they actually had nothing else. All they had was this Steele dossier, which we were told by John Brennan wasn't even in the intelligence assessment. And so you need to have accountability now to send a message to every future director of the CIA. You run an op against your own democratically elected president to try a regime change our own country. You run that op. You lie to the American people about it. You go to jail. So don't do that, because you're going to end up like James Comey. You're going to end up like John Brennan. So this is the whole purpose of having a legal system with a deterrent, a deterrence function, is so that things like this never happen again, because people like this are remembered for their jail time.
Yeah, and I think that's what needs to happen at this point. The charges need to be filed as quick as possible, because although things are good right now, we obviously have Trump in the White House. If things don't go our way in 2028, they could quickly drop any of these charges that might follow. So getting this through as quickly as possible, I think, is a key priority here. But there's a lot of things that John Brennan did during his time, obviously, as CIA director. And this is just the very beginning. If you're over, or if you're just advising the DOJ as to where to go moving forward with all of this, what other kind of criminal behavior he might have been engaged in, what kind of direction are you going to point them in?
Oh, there's so many. I mean, yeah. John Brennan, remember, it took Stephen Miller and Gene Hamilton's amazing first-rate legal shop, America First Legal, to file actions to get this shut down. But DHS actually created a domestic intelligence unit in order to survey right-wing domestic extremists, which in their own documents said their top demographic were, quote, Trump supporters, and that this might have political advantage on top of the national security. They use that phrase, political advantage. And who was in charge of that? It was John Brennan and James Clapper, the head of the CIA and the head of the DNI, who ran the Russiagate hoax. So they not only did they run the Russiagate hoax under Obama and then into Trump's term, but then during the Biden administration, they ran this old domestic intelligence unit going after them. I think anyone affected by that should be able to sue on civil liberties grounds. I think that there could potentially be a sue and settle with DHS over that. But John Brennan, all these guys go back forever. I mean, Bob Mueller, who ran the special investigation, the special prosecutor investigation, he was put in charge of the FBI the week before 9/11. That's a little crazy. John Brennan was the CIA station chief of Saudi Arabia in the run-up to 9/11. 15 of the 19 hijackers got their passports from Saudi Arabia. They had 11 Saudi nationals, and 15 of them got it through the Jeddah consulate. The head of the Jeddah consulate, this guy, J. Michael Springman, who wrote this book called Visas for Terrorists, wrote about how 80% of the people working at the consulate, the State Department consulate issuing the visas, weren't even State Department employees. They were CIA under diplomatic cover, including his own boss at the Visa Bureau. Meanwhile, John friggin' Brennan is the CIA station chief. This network goes back a very, very long time, and it's a laundry list of crimes. And on the John Brennan side, remember, John Brennan not only set this whole thing up with the Steele dossier and then lying to Matt Gaetz in Congress about it, but then he was on Twitter all throughout 2017, 2018, calling for Donald Trump to be arrested on the basis of it. John Brennan was, some of these tweets read like death threats about how he should be hanged for sedition because he met with Putin to talk about, Ukraine matters in the run up to the 2019 impeachment. And so, frankly, I think the perjury charge is important. James Clapper got away with the perjury charge around the Snowden leaks about domestic bulk surveillance. These are spies whose professional vocation is lying. They lie to the outside world. That's what they're authorized to do. That's what they're set up to do. That's why the CIA is a spy agency. The golden rule, though, is you're spying for us. You can't lie to us. If you lie to us, we have to have a mechanism to make sure nobody else does after you because they saw what happened to you. And so I think that John Brennan was even tweeting out that Trump, that he, there's it was something like, and I'm curious if you can, producer can find this and put it on screen, but it was something like, I will take solace in knowing that Trump will spend the rest of his days in a jail cell. I think this was from 2018 or 2019. This was way before the indictments, saying that this is the CIA director, the guy who's in charge of the Predator drone program to assassinate people, saying, appearing to have advanced knowledge of the blob's lawfare pursuit of having Trump die in Rikers Island prison at the time while the FBI suit was ongoing. And then, of course, they hit him with 91 felony charges once they took over the Justice Department. But frankly, I think, there's a great case. John Kiriakou is this CIA whistleblower who was persecuted by John Brennan. And what he claims on the basis of discovery documents obtained by his lawyer is that John Brennan personally leaned on the Justice Department at the time it was Eric Holder in order to shut John up, even though they didn't have a good case. I believe it was under the Espionage Act. Everyone can follow John Kiriakou on this. I think he just spoke on Joe Rogan a week or so ago. And what he describes is a correspondence in Discovery, but I think there's some classification layer that is not available to the public to get this. But Tulsi Gabbard at ODNI could declassify this. She has a unilateral declassification capacity. So does President Trump. And what he described was this shocking document where essentially the CIA directly communicating, the head of the CIA directly communicating with the head of the Justice Department to pursue legal action against a CIA whistleblower, even though they did not have sufficient evidence to get a conviction, because putting him through the process would bankrupt him, would financially destabilize him, would effectively have every public statement he made be potentially used against him in court. So it would shut him up. It would act as a de facto gag order. These sorts of actions need to be completely declassified now. We now have a Democratic mandate, control over these executive branch agencies. Just yesterday, Tulsi Gabbard announced that ODNI had just set up this interagency weaponization working group, which will tie together the State Department, CIA, ODNI, the Justice Department. You could start right there, the John Brennan files, and declassify every one of these domestic weaponization incidents, from the DHS domestic intelligence group that targeted Trump supporters. Let's get those documents. That was an intelligence group. Those are going to be classified documents. The DHS representative at that interagency working group should declassify every email, every analyst memo, every correspondence, everything on their government cell phones. We should have a Twitter files / Julian Assange style WikiLeaks of our own government, by our government, for our government, and for the American people. And we should have the John Brennan files, every single one of these weaponization incidences, from everything that was done. For example, this interstitial between the CIA and the Justice Department. This is something that keeps coming up in American history. We saw this in the JFK files. There was this case, for example, where there was this, group of exile Cubans who ran this operation against Cuba. Even the State Department didn't want them to. Then the CIA leaned on the Justice Department. This guy's name was Rolando Masfer. Incredible documents, just declassified in March of this year. And it shows how the CIA leaned on the Justice Department, saying, if you pursue this prosecution, it will cause potentially explosive damage to our human intelligence network in Miami. Because if the world news and international community knows the extent of our operations with the Cuban expats, and they will be called upon for trial if we put this guy on trial because all of his friends are CIA assets, this whole thing will blow up. This needs to be done on drugs. I have very serious questions about the role of the Central Intelligence Agency in drug trafficking under John Brennan and Barack Obama. It took Trump to declare these international narco cartels terrorists. I think these groups have been protected the better part of a century and facilitated through the Central Intelligence Agency. I think this, frankly, has a lot to do with the relations that the Obama administration and Biden administration had with Latin and South American countries. You look at what's happening in Brazil right now with Lula. You go through the evidence there, it seems clear as day that Lula, the Biden CIA-backed president of Brazil, Biden sent the CIA director, Bill Burns, down to Brazil to threaten personally Bolsonaro around not challenging anything about the election, while the State Department, in league with the CIA, brought in electronic voting machines against the domestic president and Brazil's wishes. They back-channeled through Barroso, the head of the Supreme Court, who was working with USAID, in order to divert chips from the American people from Taiwan in the middle of a chip shortage so that they could be sent to Brazil to build voting machines secretly against what the Brazilian president even wanted. So they used the CIA for that. They used the State Department. They sent Victoria Nuland down there. She was the head of the political affairs section for the State Department. According to the JFK files, 49% of the entire political section of the State Department doesn't even work for the State Department. They are CIA under diplomatic cover. And this is called CIA reorganization. It's a memo by Arthur Schlesinger in the JFK files. You can look it up. It's a 15-page memo. It's incredible. Look up Section 3. It's called Confidential American Sources. And Arthur Schlesinger, JFK's advisor, is saying in this need to reorganize the CIA because they had usurped so much power from the State Department, he describes how Victoria Nuland, the exact section she would be put in charge of 60 years later, how 80% of the political affairs section in France was CIA under State Department diplomatic cover. And so basically all the political affairs work that state was doing wasn't even controlled by the State Department. So all this political meddling in every country could be directly set by the CIA, no matter what the State Department wanted. Mm-hmm. And I think you had that today under John Brennan. And I think that, frankly, everything that was done around weaponization of information, we need the new Mockingbird files. We know that all of these CIA-adjacent NGOs, places that had, like the Atlanta Council DFR Lab, with seven CIA directors on their board, getting millions of dollars every year from the American government. They were the trusted flagger for Facebook, trusted flagger for YouTube, trusted flagger for Twitter 1.0, ran these global disinformation workshops. While they're getting money from half a dozen CIA pass-throughs and have seven CIA directors on the board, you don't think that Langley, Virginia had any email traffic, any text messages, any interstitials with assets or informants or agents who are coordinating with that network? No frigging way. It was in the national security memo, the national security strategy memo for Joe Biden, that populism was a threat to democracy worldwide, and that part of the problem were, quote, emerging technologies like social media and peer-to-peer information sharing that was spreading disinformation, giving rise to populism. When that's in the friggin' national security strategy, and the CIA is a national security agency, there is no way that you don't have something, this coordinated network around internet censorship being back-channeled through the CIA. And in fact, we know they were, because Joe Biden set up an interagency working group of his own. Just like we were talking about Tulsi Gabbard's interagency working group to investigate this, they can start right here. There was a task force that Joe Biden set up out of the White House. It was called the White House Information Integrity Task Force. Information integrity means you can chunk, they transitioned to this term after the Disinformation Governance Board disaster. And they moved to this term information integrity rather than disinformation. Information integrity means you can chunk all news and information into two categories, high integrity and low integrity. High integrity gets whitelisted, low integrity gets blacklisted. It's that simple. And so all these USAID programs, for example, USAID funds 90% of Ukrainian media, 90%, according to Ukrainian NGOs, through this group Internews, which Internews on their own website has this fantastic primer video where they say we have to start every meeting in foreign countries by trying to explain to people that we're not the Central Intelligence Agency. Meanwhile, the USAID, you get half a billion dollars every year from USAID, and you're running these disinformation censorship networks. Mm-hmm. But this White House Information Integrity Working Group, it was co-chaired by ODNI, so that's Tulsi's group now. ODNI was running this, co-chaired also by White House Office of Science and Technology Policy, OSTP, and the National Science Foundation. So you had the domestic at NSF, you had the White House through the OSTP, and you had the intelligence community through ODNI. 26 government agencies were all participating contributors to this giant globe-spanning, government-spanning censorship coordination cell. Among the participating agencies, the Central Intelligence Agency, USAID, the State Department, the Department of War, DARPA, the NSA, and then you add all these adjacent agencies like you had HHS, NIH, and NIAID, all of those, by the way, which draft off of military-industrial complex work. Big Pharma gets its markets created by these military and intelligence, these PEPFAR programs, which are USAID, pharmaceutical programs, but administered by the military, and the logistics are handled by Chemonix, which Chemonix, its own founder, said he set up Chemonix because he always wanted to have his own private CIA. The CIA the deputy director of the CIA, Avril Haines, who then became the head of ODNI under Joe Biden, was at the Event 201 coronavirus pandemic simulator, simulating a bat-borne coronavirus from China in October 2019, exactly the week of the Wuhan games, which a lot of people think is the real origin of, you know, the pandemic. But even by their own story, it's just 3 months before the exact same, you know, bat-borne coronavirus thing breaks out. And what is Avril Haines doing there? She speaks at the segment on controlling disinformation about the origins of the virus. So the deputy director of the CIA is creating a market for vaccines for big pharma, creating the predicate for an emergency declaration that makes billions of dollars for these companies. Meanwhile, you have HHS, NIH, NIAID all in league with the CIA and ODNI to coordinate censorship of disinformation about all of these things. So you can start right there and you will have a church committee on steroids in terms of everything John Brennan and Avril Haines and James Clapper and Bill Burns and all these guys were doing. And frankly, I think it'll blow the lights out and send a message that we trusted you to be spies. We trained you to lie to the world. You lie to us, you go straight to jail.
Yeah, and that needs to be the tone that's set right now. I mean, now is the perfect opportunity for this administration, for this DOJ, I should say, to go out there and make these people publicly be held accountable, because that's what the American people voted for in the first place. We spent years digging into all of this. It'd be very easy to turn up all of these facts, too, I must say. And it's not much in the way of digging. I mean, I know FBI Director Kash Patel literally wrote a book about government gangsters and what they've done to this country over the last few years. So that would be a great blueprint for how they go about all of this. So we're hopeful that the grand juries that are all kind of going on all around the country could lead to that. I wanted to back up a little bit, though, because you mentioned something and we talked about it last time you and I sat down. We've got about 90 seconds left. We talked about Brazil last time. The new update, though, that we haven't spoken about personally is Jair Bolsonaro has been sentenced to 27 years in prison. We do know President Trump did get on the phone with Da Silva and did have a conversation with him regarding we don't know what, but we're hoping it's that. What is your reaction to the 27-year sentence? Because, again, like you said, the Biden regime went in there and threatened him, a nice probably softball threat, but now all of a sudden there was these cooked up fake charges, and now he's going away for 27 years.
Right. Trade, aid, security, sanctions, these are all levers that the White House and State Department and Treasury have to pull to the maximum degree. And, frankly, a lot of that is also going to be helped, I think, through declassifications. Bill Burns makes a personal visit to threaten Bolsonaro. I want all the CIA files on Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
I want all the USAID files on Brazil. I want all the State Department files on Brazil. I think Brazilians have a right to know that. The State Department embassy in Brasilia was hosting disinformation conferences and personally funding the exact sense Abragi, the Brazilian Association of Investigative Journalists. Brazilians see that and they think, oh, it's called the Brazilian Association of Investigative Journalists. They must be Brazilian. But they're getting money from the U.S. State Department. I want every file to be made public for Americans to see how this is weaponized. And every Brazilian should know what gave fruits. What were the secret forces behind that previous election? And let that play out there. And frankly, this is one of these things where you weaponize this at home. You use this as a sword abroad. You can't use that classification as a shield if you use it at home. You lose your classified status the moment these networks get weaponized at home. And when Chuck Schumer, the Senate majority leader, the most powerful man in the Senate, is comfortable getting on MSNBC on primetime live on Rachel Maddow and saying, you never mess with the intelligence agencies because they have six ways from Sunday to get back at you. What you get back at them, And they end up with the same mugshots they forced Donald Trump and Rudy Giuliani and hundreds of others in. You don't do that again. You don't use those six ways because we've got ways to get back at you too.
Yeah, and that needs to be the tone set. Mike Benz, thank you for joining us in the studio. It's an honor to have you here over at InfoWars, so thank you.
Thank you, Brianna.
Perfect. We'll just cut back on the timeline. That was great.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures about it. And I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it. I started taking it. And boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the methylene blue. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
It is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there. My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
I used to have to pay, $10,000 a week?
Right.
To get it in my arm and sit there for 6 hours a day to get it pumped in my system. And now I can take two pills or drink it once a day.
Right.
And pay what? I don't know. $30, $40 a bottle of it.
Depends on what the sale is, yeah. Yeah.
And it's helping me to have a quality of life that I didn't have before that I have now. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Yeah!